Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are locked and loaded. The final transmission of 2015 for yours truly, Alex Jones. Of course, there'll be the nightly news tonight, 7 o'clock Central, and I'll do a Facebook mentions around midnight. Wow, huge broadcast lined up today. We'll get into all of it after this special report that I tend to like to open the shows with, John Bowne's special reports. We have a big special report from Jakari Jackson on the TSA naked body scanners and more coming up today. A bunch of big guests. But the big push to come after free speech and guns is here. It's all being formally announced. This is just unprecedented. We knew it was coming, but it's still incredible to see it. We'll cover it after the break, but here's John Bowne's report.
While the decaying, bought and paid for mainstream media dinosaurs pat themselves on the back for a job not well done, 69 journalists uncovering truth all over the globe were killed as 2015 comes to a close. U.S. News and World Report reveals that 13 journalists died covering the events in Syria. And of course, who can forget the manipulated shock and awe we all experienced during the gunning down of satirical free speech at the Charlie Hebdo headquarters in France in January, where 12 people, 8 of them journalists, were killed. On August 26th, the assault on free speech reared its ugly head in America when outside of Roanoke, Virginia, a deluded and failed reporter allegedly gunned down another reporter and her cameraman while wounding the woman being interviewed, and then later killed himself. U.S. News and World Report writes, the vast majority of journalists killed were covering some combination of political news, 68%, war, 46%, or human rights issues, 39%. Journalists were also at risk, covering culture, 29%, corruption, 22%, and crime, 19%. And while the 69 journalists killed this year isn't a record number, the growing intent to silence free speech is difficult to ignore.
And this is the reason why I came to see you, Alex. You are one of the very few who are operating under this theory to be an independent American. In a big way, if your calling is media, fine. If your calling is sports, whatever it is, but you've got to be the greatest you can be now, before this country is so completely altered,
right?
And we're left with Hillary's brain in the Oval Office in a jar. Because that's what we're getting. She's old and she's sick. She's not a contender. They're making her a contender with these propped up Saturday Night Live things. It's like a head on a stick. And then on the Today Show with the Gun Three, a head on a stick. She is not a viable, vibrant leader for this country of 300, including the illegals, 380 million Americans. So the media is trying to put us to sleep. If it continues to get consolidated to this degree, and then we're moving into the robots, which you're so profound on, and it's going to get really ugly really fast. There's already automated news sites, Google News, hello, anybody. They actually, the idiots reading that crap think there is actually a human there. There is no human there. You are being programmed to being automated.
I would say right now that the guys who control the press, the ability to manipulate the press, is much greater than ever. And even the very good newspapers are staggering under the idea that it's just really hard to take everything at face value. The current press secretary for the President of the United States may be a perfectly nice guy, but he never worked as a journalist. He was always sort of in the public relations business. I'm not suggesting he's criminal or wrong, but we don't even have a journalist there. So, yes, I would say things are worse off generally, just in terms of day-to-day credibility. It's just so much easier for the guys on top to get away with, if not a falsehood, just an incomplete answer or a non-answer when one should be issued.
2016 is shaping up to be the year free speech will begin to be rated in ways too difficult to fathom. As the globalist corporocratic backdoor trade deals spread like a cancer of domination, unleashed by their hordes of copyright lawyers over what can and can't be published content. John Bowne for Infowars.com.
Another very powerful report.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the final transmission that I'm going to be conducting here in this chair in 2015. Hard to believe that we're hurtling into 2016. We have a bunch of guests joining us today. It's all going to be extremely informative. The big theme, though, that is rearing its ugly head, not just here, but across the world, is the fact that there is a concerted, organized, focused, continued attack on free speech and systems of free speech being directed by global corporate interest. They are making their move in a big way right now. There is a huge offensive. And that's because the system is losing what little bit of credibility they had. Those fumes are now disappearing. Look at the report out today from USA Today. TV, the old king of U.S. politics, faces mortality. That's a nice way of saying faces death. I don't want to say that mainstream media is dead. Because it's never really been alive. It's been a tool of disinformation from the beginning. But if you talk about being dominant when it comes to information and dumbing the people down, it's been king. So when we call it the dinosaur media, that's a good name for it. Because the dinosaurs, you know, we're told are extinct, but we still have the crocodile, the alligator, things like that, and the crocodilia family that supposedly is even older than the dinosaur family. But when we look at mainstream media, it's only powerful and only comes alive on blue moon events, big military operations, stock market crashes, things like that. Yes, they have big viewerships. Yes, they can still occasionally push narratives and dictate outcomes, but they're losing even that blue moon power because they are so ultra discredited that even though big audiences occasionally tune in, and the rest of the time they are flatlined. We're talking 100,000 viewers, 200,000 viewers on CNN. Same thing MSNBC. Fox has gone from, you know, 6-7 million down to a couple million on its biggest shows. It's dying as well, but not dead yet. And they go on to admit it is the internet, and it is what the candidates say themselves, and it's what the people say themselves. It is not anything the mainstream media says. The mainstream media could have stayed somewhat dominant, but it's gone so extreme when it comes to disinformation and lies in an attempt to hang on. It has gone so far in distorting and twisting that people don't believe it when they come out and say what the temperature is. They don't believe it when they say what's happening with the stock market. They don't believe any of it because they may not be the general public sophisticated enough to know what they're being lied to about, but they just don't believe anything they're being told. And that's a very important first phase. Now we can get in there and start not telling people how to think, not spoon-feeding them garbage, but actually showing them the paradigms and how the world works and telling them the hat tricks of the magician, of the sorcerers, of the technocrats, of those that would control reality, of those that would be history's actors. We're not feeding people fish. We're showing them how to fish. We're not telling people what to think. We're simply saying, this is what we see. This is historically what's happened before. Here's globalist own admissions. They write all these books and white papers. They think you're too dumb to go and research it for yourself. They think that you won't learn how to think. They think that you'll be an expert on the sitcoms, the dramas, the entertainment, the fantasy football. The average person is not even really dumb. They're just experts on stupid stuff that isn't effective, that isn't based in the real world, that is artificial creations of this corrupt system. It'd be like being an expert ditch digger. Is that really going to make you successful and independent? No. You're never going to make more than $10 an hour. Well, they teach you stuff even less effective than ditch digging. How to be cool on, you know, online group games. How to buy real fictional Lamborghinis. I say real because it's real to them, with real money. And to be a movie star in these different Second Life video games. Oh, that's money well spent. They need you to live in the fantasy land and sleep. So while you're sleeping, they take over the kingdom. And they've done a pretty good job of running off with everything. But if there's still a percentage of people awake and they're trying this mesmerization game where they look at us with straight faces and say, there is no world government. There is no tyranny. Fluoride is good for you. Vaccines never hurt anybody. Folks don't buy it anymore. And there's a lot more awake people than there are globalist controllers. And the zombies running around like lobotomized gerbils are just sad victims of all of this. And we should never dare laugh at them. Because as this technotronic era gets more and more tyrannical, as it becomes more oppressive, the smartest and most resistant of us are going to have to fight to maintain our will and our consciousness. This is the great challenge, the great animating contest. And they are getting ready. I told you 2016 was Hammerfall. It's all over mainstream news. They're blowing the trumpets that it's inevitable. We're coming with carbon taxes. We're coming for your guns. We're coming for your free speech. We're coming with forced inoculations. We're coming to sexualize your children at age 5, age 4, and no child left behind. I mean, it is on. Obama has told Politico, Hammerfall, next week, the beginning of executive orders against the guns. I predict the first, he says this is a long string of them. I predict the first will sound reasonable and will not be the most draconian. The second will not be as draconian, but a little bit more. And within a month or two of next year, he is going to come out nationwide with an executive order like the California law, where they just feel like with an anonymous tip coming and confiscating your guns, they're gone. You're then drug off to a Soviet-style psychological evaluation. Get ready, folks. It's here. The good news is, the enemy is on fire, floundering with their rudders shot off. And if we just realize the power the liberty movement has, and if we engage in the info war and expose what they're doing, we can win. They have admittedly, as of last year, activated the Central Intelligence Agency, the FBI, and a bunch of other foreign think tank PR groups to engage in massive high-tech COINTELPRO infighting, disinfo, just all sorts of attacks on the liberty movement from within. And that is going to go into high gear next year. So get ready for that. You'll be trying to defend the Second Amendment or defend the borders or defend sovereignty, and you're just going to see disturbances start up. No matter how small your website is or whatever, just ignore it. Move forward, getting the word out to the people. Don't be distracted. Just man the guns in the info war. We're going to be knee-deep in gremlins, but they can chew at our legs. They can't take us down. Ignore the gremlins. Fire at the big political capital ships coming into the beach. Those troop ships, for the allegory, are full of basically 100-foot machines coming in against liberty. So I'm telling you, ignore all the side chatter, folks, and realize those big ships coming in, that's the main attack. The globalists, the UN, the IMF, the World Bank, these secret global trade treaties, the executive orders on energy and guns, it's coming. That's the main focus. It's hitting everybody. They're going to try to divide and conquer operations just like they do when they take over a third world country with the opposition. Don't listen to the propaganda. Don't listen to the fact they say we're losing. Don't listen to any of it. Move forward. Engage. Disobey illegal orders of the military and police departments. Leak information. Get aggressive. Come out and speak. And again, we're known as the most hardcore node in this whole resistance. That's why you see people signaling like Cy Hirsch and Donald Trump and all these Congress people coming on this show. They're signaling. They're signaling the narrative of resistance, 1776, InfoWar. They're signaling that this is the accurate information. They're signaling that now is the time to say no to the takeover, because America's been taken over for a while to a certain extent, but this is the attempt to break our back. This is the attempt to bring us down politically once and for all and have a communist style, it's not communist, but they use that model, burn the cities, kill the police destabilization program, then the feds and the globalists come in as the saviors in that response. George Soros is about to try to overthrow the U.S.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code RADIO and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. fortressclothing.com.
December 31st, 2015. We're live, engaging the globalist takeover of the Republic. Europe has publicly fallen to technocrats. Presidents and prime ministers are now installed in major countries. Planetary government is openly being announced. The family has been declared the enemy. Private property, a crime, if not held by the ultra-rich that are tax-exempt. I remember, gosh, it's hard to believe, it was like 5-6 years ago, I was out in the hill country, out by Wimberley, at a camp out with my son at a birthday party. And I was down by the creek, and I'd already been told by the folks that were, you know, putting on the party on their acreage that, oh yeah, you know, John Wayne's son lives next door, but they're moving out in a month to Costa Rica. They're leaving the United States. And they say, especially the last time to get out of here. So then I'm down there and up by the creek, like a day later, we're there for 2 days. Here comes John Wayne's son. And I'm like, looking, looks like John Wayne, looks like a Hispanic John Wayne. And, I said, I hear you're leaving. And he goes, yeah, the word is you don't get out of here in a year or two, you won't be able to get out with your money or anything. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, that's what all the rich people and all the elites are doing. They're leaving. And I've been hearing that from billionaires and people, too. You know, now it's all over the news. I mean, that's how scary all this is, folks. This isn't a game. This is the totalitarian takeover of America. Al Gore said 2 years ago, we need an Arab Spring in America. And they're bringing in an Arab Spring with the radical left. and the Black Lives Matter movement to start a civil war in this country. That's not rhetoric, folks. That's what they're planning. And we're trying to stop it. And people say, well, Black Lives Matter has some good points, and, you know, such and such. Let's get past all that. It's George Soros run. Of course it's going to have some legitimate points. Of course there's some problems with police. There's problems all over the place. Guys, pull up the number of people shot and killed by police a year. It varies, but it's one of the rarest ways to die. Are there horrible, crazy police? Some of them? Absolutely. Is the government getting too much power and that trickles down? Absolutely. But the country is being set up for war with Russia. Our government's backing Al-Qaeda to murder hundreds of thousands of people. And the stinking Democratic Party is run by a bunch of race-baiting crazies trying to start a race war. Number of people killed by U.S. police in 2015 at 1,000. Yeah, I was about to say it's like 1,100 or so every year. And most of them are in shootouts with the police. I mean, you're talking 90% are totally justified. And yeah, there are then maybe 100, maybe 200 really bad things that happen. But I mean, is that, again, they're aborting half the black people, but I can't get black people to be upset about it or white people. Because MSNBC said it's a wonderful thing. So you kill millions of blacks every year, that's wonderful. But you kill 20 or 30 of them, it's like the end of the world. One man dies, it's a tragedy. 10,000 die, it's a statistic. Joe Stalin was right. And it just goes on and on. The reason I bring up John Wayne is John Wayne's daughter endorses Trump. I am humbly at your service. My dad, I am sure, will be very proud of Mr. Trump. Asa Wayne revealed she admired the real estate mogul for giving a voice to American people. Well, Obama's come out and said he's not viable for president, and now they're officially in the news saying he may be disqualified. Oh, I'd never heard of that before. Well, it's just, you know, we don't need a law or anything. We just say he's disqualified. And here's the big announcement. Michael Savage has been banned along with hundreds and hundreds of prominent Americans from traveling to England because he criticizes radical Islam. Donald Trump, the British government now officially says, to make him look like a crook, that he's going to be banned from the UK. They arrest you if you try to go and protest radical Islam in England now. We have the videos. We've had the guest on. They arrest you. They arrest you. Now, the British government, again, a couple weeks ago, posted the petition. Now, I've got the article here. They're looking at it. Steve Watson, government considering banning Donald Trump, Infowars.com, right now. And I've got other articles where they talk about it. Google and the Trump free internet. Google is openly restricting Donald Trump now. And if they can take him down, folks, they can take everybody's free speech. But the left and the controlled right are rubbing their greedy rat-like paws together.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
This is what happens. I get in here and I look at hundreds of articles. I get wound up. I end up not covering a lot of them. So let me just attempt to read you some of these headlines. Look at this one. John Wayne's daughter endorses Trump. I am humbly at your service. My dad, I'm sure, will be very proud of Mr. Trump. Bill Cosby's lawyer has faith in justice system. I mean, look, whether he did all this or not, I think the thing's questionable on both sides. I think what he did was unethical. There's obviously something going on there, but in so many of the cases, it's like, I was a Playboy girl, and I, you know, went out with him 15 times, and I think he used to drug me. I don't know what happened when I went in the bedroom with him. I mean, just give me a break. I just kept going to the hotel room with him, and he'd say, take this pill, and I'd do it, and I didn't know what the pill did. That will now graduate into what we're hearing about date rape, where I had five vodkas, and then I didn't know what happened. Since caveman times, men have been like, drink the mead, female. I mean, it's dangerous where all this is going. And, I mean, the guy actually does look like a toad. I mean, I have to say, Cosby doesn't look too happy in these photographs, and I shouldn't be laughing about it. But he's now taken the form of a Muppet, and he was acting like he was blind when they let him in. I mean, I don't know what's going on. It's just, I'm sure some of these women are telling the truth. Some of the others, I watched them on TV, and they look like some of the biggest BS artists I've ever seen in my life. And that's just my opinion. And it keeps coming out in statistics that around half of the rape allegations made in this country are fake. And we're all told there's this rape culture. Let me tell you where there's a rape culture. With the hundreds of thousands of invaded Sunni radicals that have come in to Iraq and Syria that are running around raping and murdering everyone, who say the Quran gives them the authorization to rape girls as young as 6 years of age. Well, I don't need the Quran to tell me you need to have your head beaten in with a baseball bat if you talk like that or want to do things like that. I mean, this is sick. And our media does everything it can to cover this up. And all these leftist outlets are attacking me. Alex Jones is Islamophobic. Alex Jones hates Muslims. Alex Jones is a bigot. I am a bigot against a radical form of Islam that puts hoods over women's heads, cuts their genitals off, mutilates them, uses them as slaves, eats people's hearts, murders every Christian they get a hold of, and run around with 9-year-old boys blowing prisoners' heads off and sawing people's heads off. Yes, yes, I don't like it. I discriminate against it. Yes. Just like I would discriminate against a dead cat on the side of the road if someone said, let's go fry up this maggot-covered cat. My nose would discriminate the stinking flesh, and I'd say, I don't eat roadkill. Thank you very much. So that's what they're doing. Oh, I'm sorry. I've gotten the two stories here. But while we're busy hating on Bill Cosby, while we're busy going after the king of the toads, all Hades is breaking loose around the world. The stock market is going way down today. Sour on final day of 2015. Derivatives are way bigger than they were in 2008. There's all sorts of wars breaking out. And you would think Donald Trump was the Antichrist for saying, until they start checking people's visas and not letting people in from terrorist areas, we have to shut off all Muslims coming in until Congress does an investigation and starts vetting these people. Just like they bring illegals in from all over the world to say, oh, we got a plane load at JFK from Mexico, and the customs agents are told. And they called the media, and then it even came out in CBS and NBC News. Imagine, they went and whistleblowed. They said, a plane with 150-something people on it landed, there's the Daily News, on flight from Mexico, allowed to skip customs, leave JFK Airport. Just, hey, you know what? We've been ordered, just let you in. You're from Mexico, just come on in. Trump's like, something's got to be done right now. I mean, imagine if suddenly the president of Mexico just said, we're not going to check anybody when they come in. You can just land from anywhere. You can just come across. And then a guy running for president said, until the president stops this and until we know what's happening, no one comes in. Shut the borders until you put security back in. They'd say, I mean, that's just no-brainer. It's like you're cooking dinner and you forget and the stove's on fire and then there's fire shooting up. You go turn it off and you go get the fire extinguisher. And you spray everything until the fire is extinguished. You don't go, maybe you're discriminating against the fish you were frying in the pan. Don't hit it with a fire extinguisher because you hate fish. No, you don't hate fish. You want the fire to stop. You don't hate people from the Middle East, but you don't. Obama won't let Christians in. Christians are like 12%. They were 20% of the population in Syria. They're trying to get here. Our government won't let them in. They'll bring in thousands of Muslims, none of them Shiite, all of them Sunni. And then they'll have, for every 200 and something, there's a metric. I've noticed this in the news. They'll go, okay, one Christian. 31 Christians versus 2,149 Muslims. Just 1% of Syrian refugees accepted by the Obama administration in 2015 were Christians. 98% were Muslim. And almost all of them were Sunni usurpers. Invaders. Auslanders. Outlanders. How's that? For everybody out there. And then England, the British government is looking in the UK at banning Donald Trump as a public menace from entering Britannia. Interfering in our elections, trying to demonize someone who has massive business holdings in the UK, huge hotels, golf courses, you name it. These are sanctions against him. Now you really know he's good, don't you? And he's got people advising him that are hardcore InfoWars listeners. Who are hardcore people in the Nixon and Reagan and Bush 41 administrations. Serious people. Who don't want to see this country destroyed. There is an internal battle in the government, folks. That's why all these generals are going public. That's why Cy Hirsch came on the show yesterday. This is a soft coup against the globalist takeover. There is a counter coup going on. Cy Hirsch agreed. Pulitzer Prize winner. Greatest living journalist with this show yesterday. Knowing full well who we are, came on to agree with us. And to go over the evidence. The military has said no. You want to give weapons to ISIS? We're just going to break them. And they deliver them broken weapons. That's why ISIS will bitch on these things and go, hand grenades without the detonators, you know, AR-15s without the firing pins. And so when the military's flying over there and the contractors are with these big C-130s full of weapons, they sit there on the whole flight sabotaging it. Oh, they follow their orders, but they sabotage it. That's going on at the grassroots level. I don't think I've ever seen such a legitimate resistance. This isn't mutiny. If you're on board an aircraft, a 777, say, and a guy goes, you know, halamala, halala, in the name of Allah is great, I will kill all of you if you do not do as I say. And back in the 70s and 80s, they would actually go put on the outfit of the captain a lot of times because they found everybody submitted when they saw the uniform. Would it be mutiny to fight back against a hijacker who put the captain's uniform on? You ask a trendy, they'd say absolutely. Check your white privilege at the door and hope that Habib saws your head off. I'm not kidding. There's a death wish with these people. No, the guy wearing the uniform isn't the president. He's a front man of political correctness where they condition us to never disagree with a, quote, minority, whether you're a minority or whether you're white, whatever. Whites are now a minority in almost every area, minority worldwide. There's really about 7% whites worldwide, people identifying as white, maybe 9%, okay? But the point is that I know whites are evil. It's just terrible. And, of course, it's corrupt white people using that narrative to manipulate things and create divide and conquer. But because we have a, quote, black president, doesn't act or behave like any black people I ever knew, and it's just sick. It's totally, absolutely, completely sick. To the bedrock bottom core. The attempted crucifixion of Donald Trump. And I want to say something here that is one of the most important things I've ever said. So please listen to me very, very carefully because I know a lot of it gets lost in the ranting. Even if you hate Donald Trump and you are a committed Bernie Sanders communist, do you really think he should be banned from going to the UK? Do you really think they should be in the newspapers talking about disqualifying him because the establishment says he's not presidential material? This is the very ether the very atmosphere, the very spectrum of abject, complete oppression and dark age tyranny. It is the anti-liberty. And I have a stack of news here where they're coming after free speech here and everywhere else, and it's being vitriolically called for because the totalitarians cannot trump our information. So whether Trump is an angel, a devil, or somewhere in between like most of us, the establishment truly wants him destroyed and is coming after him right now. And if they can shut him down, it'll be another major victory for these people. But it's causing more people to go to the cause. It's causing more people to wake up. And we have two very powerful movements in collision course already colliding with each other as we speak. And it's going to be explosive. So I hope you're not just a spectator during these next few months and next year or so, because this is quite a time to be alive. And Trump is really aggressively fighting back, saying, how dare you claim I'm a sexist, Hillary, and play sex card on me with women when your husband has settled rape cases. And again, the move, as I told you, is they're going to go after the Clintons, and this is the proof that they're at war with them, because this is coffin nails politically for the Clintons if they want to get tangled up with it. And they're ready to go after the Bushes with 9/11. Trump is ready. If you want to take that bait and you want to go after him for that, he's ready. And you got pretty good control of your people, though, don't you, your controlled press? I mean, the dogs got out of the fence for a little bit to go after us when Trump came on, but you called them right back in about 4 hours. It went from 3,000-plus stories to none the next day. That is control. Boy, we got some controlled press in this country. Look at this headline. Government considering banning Donald Trump. Here's another one. Google and the Trump free internet. And that's a good headline, but I'm going to change Nemo's headline. Google implements systems to censor Trump. Are Google now censoring Trump from internet? That's really what it is. Filtering out frontrunner will do nothing to stop his meteoric rise. And then it goes through how they admit that they are filtering him out and driving him down and putting negative stuff at the top. I mean, that is just unbelievable. Shame on Google. Oh, but other countries are doing it as well. Vietnam warns of toxic web use ahead of party shakeup. Reuters. See, our media will report on censorship in China or censorship in Vietnam or milder forms in Russia. Oh, but when it's going on here, it's like, oh, it's good when it happens here. And I had my article in here where media looks to ban Trump here in the U.S. because I have another article where they're openly saying, you know, Trump needs to be disqualified. They're openly now floating that. But meanwhile, while Trump's being demonized, up to 34 million blank green cards and work permits to be ordered ahead of Obama illegal immigrant amnesty, Daily Mail. And of course, a year ago this came out, and then they withdrew the request, but Congress was requested for this, the funding, and now it's back. So just blank green cards. Oh, but we've all got to give our rights up because terrorists are about to hit us any minute. Agents nab Pakistanis with terrorist connections crossing U.S. border, Washington Times. Trump, I know words. I have the best words. Obama is stupid. I want to go to some of those clips here in just a moment. Barack Obama confirms a pretty sizable percentage of the world leaders are, quote, out of their minds. Takes one to know one, doesn't it, you power mad nut? Brussels cancels New Year's fireworks due to terror threat. Oh, yeah. Parisians aren't going to celebrate in Paris New Year's because they're worried about terrorists. I mean, talk about giving in. Talk about just groveling in fear with the governments greasing the skids. Oh, yes, don't come out. They're going to get you. It's as legitimate as saying, don't go out. The police are going to kill you. The police kill about 1,000 people a year. 90-plus percent of it's legitimate. What's corrupt is the courts and the system running the police to turn them into code enforcers and harassers of the people and debt collectors. And it's terrible, and it's a surveillance state, but they're the lowest level of it. It's our fault for letting Congress have the TSA do this and our borders open. It's a scapegoat. They want to have a scapegoat revolution, not against the foreign banks that took the country over, but against local government. That's their admitted plan. I just keep going back to that in the new year, because all hell's going to break loose next year. And they're going to get the police so wound up and so crazed when cops are getting killed every day, that they're going to follow whatever global orders they get in the name of stopping it all. That's why we're there targeting that narrative with the truth. The police are checking it. They're looking at it. They're finding out we're accurate. They already know pretty much everything we're saying is accurate on their own without even me saying it. But we're just putting it all together. And let me tell you, we see for miles and miles. We know what we're talking about. And we are actively battling every globalist operation at point blank range. I mean, I'm just out here, hair on fire, folks, swords in both hands, just hacking the enemy. Doesn't mean we got all the answers. Doesn't mean we're not going to fall down. Doesn't mean we may not be destroyed, but we're in the fight. You better believe it. And we need other people to get involved in the fight right now, because this is what Al Gore and George Soros promised, their globalist Arab Spring in America. They are here. They are moving. They mean business. They're not going to turn loose of power easy. They're going for everything right now. This is it. Next year. Gun, anti-New World War, and I've been told by two different country music centers that he's a listener. That's why we should probably reach out and try to get Dwight Yoakam on. Another patriot.
It goes in my head. All that I keep hearing are the cruel, cruel things that you said.
That's part of the song. All right, let's get into the serious news. We got guests coming up on the TSA naked body scanners. They're saying those are going to be mandatory lawsuits that are involved. Pastor David Manning is going to be joining us on a whole host of Trump and Obama analysis, and we'll take some calls in the third hour, fourth hour coming up today. We'll give you details of that. Trump's getting hardcore. He is coming out, and he is telling Hillary, you go ahead and say I'm a sexist like you say Bernie Sanders is, and your little commie lapdog. And I'm going to bring up that your husband has settled rape cases. Okay, so you want to go the Cosby route? Let's try it. And here's the headline. Can Trump's Clinton sex scandals revival hurt Hillary? The New Yorker magazine asked. So here's Donald Trump firing a major shot across the bow of the Clinton crime family.
You know, Hillary said, well, I'd like to run against Trump. Believe me. This poor Chuck Todd, Meet the Press. His show is dying, and he keeps saying, do it, do it. But I never liked it. You know, he never treated me fairly. So I do a show. He gets the highest ratings he's had in years. He went from, like, believe me, I won't even give you the numbers. They were massive, the numbers, right? I saved his life. And then he goes, Hillary Clinton said that she would most like to run against Donald Trump. And yes, and they're looking forward to it. Trust me. The last person. She's already gotten a dose last night. Do you agree? She had a tough night. She had a tough night. She had a tough night looking at the beauty pageant, okay? So Hillary Clinton said, and here's Chuck Todd, and he's a nice guy. I'm not trying to knock him. Please don't be insulted, Chuck. But she says she doesn't like him. But he doesn't treat me right. So he goes, the Clinton campaign said they'd most like to run against Trump. Like I'm some kind of a sap. So I call him, I say, Chuck, let me explain something. When they say they want to run against me, that means they don't want to run against me. Do you understand that? Do you understand? It's reverse psychology. They say they want to run against me. First of all, I'm winning and tied in the polls now, and I haven't even hit her yet. But look at what happened to all the guys I hit. They're gonzo. They're gone. Or they're failing badly, okay? And they'll be gone soon. But Hillary Clinton, think of it. I say, so Chuck, report it, like, properly. Trust me. They don't want to run against Trump. The last thing she wants in her whole life is her. This was only, I did this in like 15 minutes, what happened to them. Because the husband wants to come and she wants to accuse me of things, and the husband's one of the great abusers of the world. Give me a break.
Exactly.
Give me a break. Give me a break.
He is such a maniac. I love Donald Trump. I'm sold. I can't help it. I mean, the Secret Service thinks he's going to get shot any moment, by the way. I mean, they are just crawling all over the place. They won't let anybody get near him. Trump has really, really got guts. And there's that quote from Full Metal Jacket. Private Joker is silly and he's ignorant, but he's got guts, and guts is enough. Well, Trump's not silly or ignorant. He does some wild things because he's real. And, you know, I questioned it 4 or 5 months ago, but now knowing the inside baseball and watching them openly come after him and the money from both parties coming in against him, I mean, they see him as a major threat. And all the sniveling Republican candidates trying to snipe at him, who think the media is their friends, the minute they bring down Trump, they'll slit their throats as well. These people have no street smarts, and Trump's got that. It trumps all the fake, effeminate, senatorial foppistry, you know, and all this garbage. Stay with us.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
You want to fight the New World Order.
Riding on the highway.
Once you get up on the ridges above them, throw big boulders down on top of them. Then you just get stronger, dodging the big ones coming down at you.
Playing rock and roll.
Once you get in the fight,
getting wrong, getting stoned, getting beat up, broken bones,
yeah.
Getting hit, getting took.
I'm here to tell you. It's harder than it looks.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get back into all things Trump and into the economic news, congressional news, and more. John Corbett, professional-troublemaker.com, the fellow that successfully was able to smuggle bomb simulants through, the guy that did the lawsuit that they inadvertently released at the request in the discovery that the TSA knows it's all fake. There's no terrorists that they're actually stopping. Never stopped a terrorist. It's all just to have naked body scanners. So Chertoff, the former head of Homeland Security, makes hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, the company makes billions. It's just all more military industrial complex ripping us off while Obama flies in huge planes from Mexico, Syria, you name it. Just people piling off. No IDs are looked at. Mainstream news. It's blah. Trump says, we might want to check that and stop it till they do something. No, he's the worst person ever. He's the biggest. Can you believe? Let me tell you the craziest thing I heard. Trump said that when the submarines go under the water, they should close the portal hatch on the top. Are you kidding? Oh, yeah. He then said, you shouldn't put a gun to your head with loaded bullets and pull the trigger. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it gets worse. Trump said that if you smoke 10 packs of cigarettes a day for 50 years, you might get lung cancer. Oh, my goodness. Oh, did you hear the really weird one? He said the sun came up this morning. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm convinced that if you went out there and told Trendies to sign a petition to make the sun not come up in the morning because Obama said so, or are you for the sun? Are you racist? You know, it's yellow. It's not black. They would probably sign a petition to announce that the word sun should be banned. After all, it's sun is S-U-N, sun is S-O-N. It's kind of like saying the sun god's male, like male sunlight fertilizes the planet. Oh my gosh, those sexist Egyptians, ban it! Excuse me. Let me get back to serious issues. Here is another clip. Donald Trump, I know words. I have the best words. Obama is stupid. Let's play that clip.
The world has blown up around Barack Obama. Now, I don't know if you saw his recent release. They were talking about the Department of State, State Department, and they said very strongly, you know, the things that they've done. Well, they couldn't find it. And they goes, what have they done that's good? And they said, bringing peace to Syria. Did you see that? So instead of saying they made a mistake, call it a typo. They made a mistake. They're trying to justify. Well, we meant we're working on it. Can you believe bringing peace to Syria? The world is blowing up. The migration to Syria. They say one of their achievements for the year is bringing peace to Syria. And the whole world's talking about it. It's the level of stupidity is incredible. I'm telling you, I used to use the word incompetent. Now I just call them stupid. I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words. I have the best. But there's no better word than stupid.
That's right. Got to dumb it down.
Right? That there is kind.
Sometimes a cuss word's good. It just offends you. Know? I mean, I got some words. What Obama is? It's a piece of you-know-what filth.
There's no word like that.
I don't like to use the Lord's name in vain, and I shouldn't, but I have trouble. I don't even see it when I mean, I really do want the globalists to be sent to Hades. I'm not judging him, but I mean, my gosh, they look pretty bad to me. So that's God judges. Vengeance belongs to the good Lord above. But I tell you, these people have it out for us. I mean, they're a bunch of crooks. They've doubled our energy prices, shutting off the power plants. Okay?
The affluenza teen and his mother have been taken into custody, reports Reuters. A wealthy Texas teen who had been a fugitive after breaking his probation sentence for killing four people while driving drunk will be returned to the United States after being caught in Mexico. Ethan Couch, age 18, and his mother Tanya were taken into custody Monday evening in a resort in Mexico. Couch became known in the United States as the affluenza teen during his trial in juvenile court over the 2013 deaths, when a psychologist said he was so wealthy and spoiled that he could not tell the difference between right and wrong. He has been serving 10 years probation for intoxication manslaughter, a sentence critics saw as far too light. Couch and his mother disappeared earlier this month, prompting officials in Tarrant County, Texas, to issue a warrant for his apprehension. You can find more reports on InfoWars.com.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder. Another world, another time. His land was green and good until the prison cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., 4 hours of hardcore talk radio / news analysis coming to you in the old-fashioned TV transmission as well. All right, where to start? There is so much here. I want to air a special report Jakari Jackson did about the return of the naked body scanners. Opting out is because lawsuits got filed. Doing it to children is illegal. Taking naked images of children's genitalia is illegal. That's why courthouses nationwide that have the naked body scanners have similar systems. And with those systems, they have those images. It is the production of child pornography. And that's the real way to attack this. So that's why under 18 now, they've phased it out. But they're trying to bring it back for children now. Now, I don't want to make this about the TSA people themselves, even though a lot of them been caught stealing, a lot of them been caught being pedophiles, an extraordinary amount. And it's because that's the type of job that pedophiles and pervs are going to gravitate to. And, you know, you see the ones that want to grope hot women. You see the ones that want to grope men. You see the ones that want to grope kids. I have seen it with private security at concerts where they go out of their way, where they're not checking anybody, but all the super gorgeous women. You know, they're wearing halter tops and tight blue jeans. You know, these men and women are all over them. You'll see, you know, women like the Janet Reno lookalikes just licking their lips. I was in Vegas flying out from a Jesse Ventura shoot, and this guy said, I listened to you on the radio yesterday, and he was just in love with me during the pat-down. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And that's my experience with that now. I've actually had, I guess, what you could call the beginnings of a little smoochy moochy. This is what it's all about, to dominate and control people. Then we'll get more into the open calls to ban Trump from going to the UK. Our media saying, could he be disqualified? He's just not presidential. Why, look at England's going to ban him. He's just terrible. And that ties into all these big pushes to go after free speech. Because here's USA Today. TV, the old king of U.S. politics, faces mortality. That means it's death. They're dead already. How long have I said that mainstream media is dead? About three years. But they really passed that point where they were beyond life support. They were just keeping a corpse alive. And now the feet are rotting. They're going to have to cut them off. They got gangrene. The heart's spazzing out, having heart attacks every few weeks. You can't keep the corpse alive. It's dead already. The eyes are sunk in. The fingers are rotting off. You ever seen somebody they keep alive too long? That's what happens. And so, you know, they're going to start chopping the arms off now. And there's bed sores everywhere. I mean, I hate to be gross about it, but I mean, that CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, NBC News, ABC News, and they always plan to discredit the mainstream media while they destroyed the press, because they are still scared of investigative journalists at newspapers and a few good reporters like the CBS reporter that exposed Fast and Furious. You know, just parading like there's a free press, you could have somebody actually think there was a free press and try it inside the old media system. So they're dismantling it, but they were unable to shut us and others down before they did that. So that's why they're announcing the FTC, not just the FCC. They want to send after Drudge, everybody. They're just announcing online publisher rules where they're going to look at everybody's advertising now, where it's impossible to have advertising because in the ad you have to, quote, disclose where the money comes from. Imagine you have an ad for tennis shoes and the whole ad's about this was brought to you by blah, blah, blah. And you say, oh, well, that'll be okay. No, it's to come in and selectively enforce. In fact, I was told with the feds snooping around from multiple sources, it's the FTC that they want, but because they couldn't get the FBI to make up anything in a two-year investigation, they just said there is nothing. I mean, they just dug through everything reportedly. And that's because I've told the best accountants, everybody, just make sure that my rear end is as clean as the driven snow and my nose is clean. Doesn't matter. And so obviously the government knows too, when they come after us, if they do, we're going to put up a big political, legal, economic battle. And so they just said, well, we'll shift this over to the FTC. And the Supreme Court justices has told Drudge they're coming. I've got the news here. After we get into the TSA at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to get into this. They are coming for our freedoms, our speech, everything. It's here. And all over the world, it's happening as well. Expelled French journalist warns of dark days for the media in China. Why would Reuters report on that? Why would AFP? I mean, that's happening here. Obama's persecuted more members of the press than any other president combined. That's admitted. Obama's gone after more whistleblowers. It's crazy. So after John Corbett leaves us, we're going to play Jakari Jackson's report on the TSA and what's unfolding. I like to have real live heroes on the show, and John Corbett is one of those people. He's a technology entrepreneur and civil rights advocate. He's worked on issues such as TSA abuse and NYPD stop and frisk, and has done for 2012 video demonstrating the TSA nude body scanners can be beaten. He is currently litigating the last remaining lawsuit against those scanners, as well as invasive TSA pat-downs. Professional-troublemaker.com. He's filed a new lawsuit, I'm told. And he also, in his lawsuits, has gotten the intel, famously, where they admit they're not stopping terror, never stop one terrorist. It's all a fraud. It's basically a job for people to be able to rummage through and steal your prescriptions or steal your presents you bought for your wife or daughter. I mean, I've been robbed by the TSA repeatedly, or whoever's searching the luggage. I mean, and of course, I told you JFK, now famous. I mean, they basically rob almost everybody there. I've had TSA people just treat me with total contempt. I've had them be really nice. A lot of them are listeners. So it's not their fault overall. It's Congress and our fault letting it happen. Famously, 3 years ago, the Texas legislature tried to pass a law saying they would charge them for groping genitals. The response was F-16s were put on standby. Obama said, we will embargo, blockade aircraft. I mean, that's how the Civil War started with ships. So this is big. This is a federal takeover. They're announcing they want TSA on the streets, domestic ID cards. The IRS is saying if you're not in good graces with them, you can't travel. This is totalitarianism, and Jonathan Corbett is fighting it. Jonathan, thank you for coming on with us today. Let's get into your latest lawsuits, where it's going, and the TSA coming out and saying, oh, we're not going to let you opt out from going into the child pornography booth.
Hey, Alex, how are you? It's good to be back.
I'm good, my friend.
Good, good. So, yeah, we had an update about 2 weeks ago where the TSA now decided that no more opt-outs unless they say it's okay. So if you're on a special list, it's not okay. If you get randomly selected, it's not okay. If they don't like the look, it's not on your face, it's not okay. If you're a cute female, it's probably not okay either. So, you know, we now have this state of uncertainty at the checkpoint where maybe they'll let you opt out, maybe they won't.
You heard my whole rant about the panopticon technocracy they're building. I mean, in their own words, they admit that's what they're building. Pentagon designed. And where would you say the demarcation line is in this fight against the 1984 system being put in place?
You know, it's hard to know how much the TSA actually does towards that because it seems like they're pretty incompetent from the surface. So you start to wonder whether or not they have all this information, or maybe they're just consumers of this kind of information. So we have these watch lists that are maintained by the FBI, the no-fly list, for example, the terrorist screening database, and so forth. And it seems that TSA is a consumer of this data. I don't know how much they actually send back. I don't know if they have the skills.
Continue with your current lawsuit.
So essentially, this TSA for the last, since the body scanners came out, has been arguing in court against, in lawsuits against the body scanners, that one of the reasons why these scanners are constitutional is because they're optional, because you can always opt for a pat down. You know, a pat down is not exactly a pleasant option either, but they've argued that the existence of this unpleasant option makes it constitutional. So now that all those suits have died down, the courts have said, well, it sounds okay, we'll just let it go. The TSA has now moved to the next step, which is making them mandatory. So I filed a suit against the TSA last week, asking the court to enjoin them because they've now changed the constitutional balance. They've also failed to engage in normal rulemaking procedures. Any other agency would have put out a notice in the Federal Register, would have solicited comments from the public, and they're required to do so by law. Yet they failed to do so the last time they put the body scanners out, and now this time that they're changing the procedure.
Well, let me lay some knowledge on folks that are wondering why this is happening. Some say it's inept, some say it isn't. It's meant to be rolled out like the post office. And I watched a two-hour meeting back in 2002 when they were getting cabinet-level status at DHS, when DHS was being created, and they admitted the plan, that you'd have to have a TSA authorization from the federal government. You know, the TSA is not just the TSA agents, obviously the airport. That's where the rubber meets the road. But above that, they're going to make you get authorization to have a job. First, it's at high-value targets. Then it's infrastructure targets. Then it moves on to all jobs. You have to get certification to be able to have that job. Then you have to have certification to be able to travel. Then it's a whole database on you where you start opting in to being part of the national global ID card system to get fast-tracked in. So it's simply training. If you go back to ancient humans, how they would domesticate dogs, or then they would domesticate horses and other animals, obviously you try to get them when they're young, indoctrinate them, but more importantly, you just get them used to feeding them or putting your hands on them. And you put them into chutes to do that at first, where they're in a chute, in a pen, and then you touch them in the pen, you feed them in the pen. And that's how pedophiles also train kids, with the touching and getting them prepared. So and I've had top psychologists on. I mean, this is the breaking of the American people. This is institutionalizing them and just preparing them to go through checkpoints, go through lines, have their will broken, be put in a scanner, put their hands up, you know, in an act of saying, you know, that my hands are up, I'm a criminal, having the gun drills, making people march out. They admit the plan is with these extrajudicial, as you just mentioned, systems. that it's just these agencies make rules. These agencies do what they want. No one knows how you got on the list. Now it's a no gun buy list. Now there's a secret list. We come take your guns. See where this is going? That's why what you're doing is so important. We're not just going, hey, man, let them grope you. A terrorist might come through. The borders are open. They're bringing people in. They bring in planes from Mexico and let 150 people in. Don't even look at them. This is dog training. This is slave training. Now, I'll rant if you're so polite and keep pausing, but you're the man in there charging and taking action. Lay some more knowledge on us about what's going on. You're the guy that helped prove with their own documents that they haven't stopped a single jihadi.
I appreciate that, and you're right in two important regards. Number one is that this is just getting worse. Every time the TSA has been given something, they then move on to the next more invasive because they think that that makes us more secure or that makes them have more control or whatever the case may be. So that's definitely something to consider is that we have to draw a line somewhere. And we didn't draw the line, apparently, at letting them use x-rays to take images of our nude body. So we have to pick a spot. You're also right about the fact that they don't catch terrorists. These new machines, these body scanners, are much better at finding drugs, at finding cash, at finding anything but things that will actually take down an airplane. And I think that's for good reason. I think they enjoy
their internal checkpoints. I've seen them confiscate silver. I mean, they're just, it's horrible.
Yeah, and they actually have rules that say if you are found with a certain amount of cash, they're going to notify customs. How crazy is that?
It's internal violations of the Fourth Amendment. And of course, now they've also started grabbing people's laptops and phones and downloading their info.
Yeah, well, Customs and Border Patrol definitely says that they have that right. And we've also seen it a little bit in airports where they've started to ask passengers to turn on electronic devices, ostensibly to make sure that they're actually an electronic device and not a bomb. So we all know what the next step on that one is.
Well, it's all about making us feel like we're suspects and people getting in our space. It's how you kill a free country. What about my point that a lot of civil libertarians are somewhat liberal, so they don't want to point out the real argument against all this. You can't have open borders. You can't be bringing in all these people, these refugees with fake passports and all the rest of it, and then saying, you know, the main gates are open, but we're going to grope you internally inside the country. It's ridiculous.
You're absolutely right. You know, whatever your listeners' standpoints are on whether we should let in Syrian refugees, your point there is completely valid, that if we're going to open up all of these arenas for people to get into the country and to cause us trouble, why are we touching grandma at the airport? There's no point.
Exactly. I mean, it'd be like if I said, don't let the dog out, so I open all the front and back doors, but then close a closet.
Right.
I mean, it's like, I'm going to secure the house. I'm locking the closet, but everything else is open.
Right, it doesn't work, and we don't screen the people that work at the airports properly. We allow people to randomly get through. It's just a disaster. There's no way that the TSA could actually stop a terrorist, but thankfully there actually hasn't been a terrorist that's attempted to get through the airport since 9/11, since almost 16 years now.
What about the point that Steve Hossettler made? It says if you bring too much liquid, the TSA confiscates it and throws it away in case it's a bomb. So they throw it away in case it's a bomb in the garbage can right next to them with all the other possible bombs in the area with most amount of people in case it's a bomb.
Yeah, they know that they're not actually taking any bombs away from you. Part of that is revenue, too. The airports make a lot of money. The airlines make a lot of money based on you buying drinks and snacks and so forth in the airport and on the airplane.
I did forget they didn't take the squash or the peppers, but I was up in Omaha, and they had this farmer's market, the most luscious produce I've ever seen, and I bought my mom some locally grown Concord grapes. I actually bought some of the grapes, too, but I ate those, and they just flipped out and said, we could arrest you. What are you doing? And I said, oh, I just forgot. It's grape jelly, and they just, like, for 30 minutes hyperventilated, and I just finally went, you people are nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just crazy. This is all made up. I said, you bring the terrorists into the country. And then they're like, settle down, sir, settle down. I'm like, no, I'm not going to settle down. I mean, literally, after 20 minutes, I finally just got angry. And I said, I'm not playing along with your fantasy land anymore. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. One of the other interesting things is this policy based on the state of matter that something is in. You can actually bring ice through the checkpoint as long as there's no liquid in it. But once it turns to water, it's now a bomb.
And then there's always going to be something new, the terrorists. You know, oh, the terrorists are going to put bombs in, you know, up their rear ends into their rectums. And then so breast bombs. What are we going to do? You know, cut women's breast off, X-ray them?
Well, we're already towards the X-raying, so I think we're pretty much there.
And, of course, no one seems to know about this, but I've seen it in local news in, like, the middle of the country and in middle of New York. They have, like, army X-ray trucks that make you drive through with high-powered X-rays. And I've had radiologists on. They go, that is at least 100 times the power of a chest X-ray.
That's right. In New York City, they have them. And I actually filed the first lawsuit against that as well in 2013, I believe it was. The court dismissed that one, saying there's no proof that they actually use them. That so I'm waiting. If you ever see a news article that shows that they're actually in use in New York, let me know and we'll reopen that case.
Yeah, they got different types. I mean, you're just, again, you're such a hero. See, did sued that too, folks. I mean, nobody else is doing it. Thank God for this guy. Jonathan Corbett, professional-troublemaker.com. I mean, think about that. They've got these mobile ones. They put you in, throw the switch and fry you. Then they've got them where you drive through them. And, of course, the military and the police, do they have any idea how deadly these are? A lot of the TSA people tell us that these millimeter wave things aren't dangerous. They're a lot less powerful than the other systems, but still in the aggregate, there are a lot of studies out there and all these cancer clusters.
Yeah, in the end, it's going to be the TSA employees that get it the worst. I mean, no matter how much you fly, you're only spending a few minutes a day at most near them versus the TSA screener spending maybe 40 hours a week. So it's really on them.
Well, Mr. Corbett, as we hurtle into 2016, I want to give you the floor for the next 3-4 minutes. Other points that need to be added, points I haven't brought up. What else can you impart to our viewers and listeners out there?
Sure. I also have one more lawsuit that's pending against the TSA right now. Essentially, if you were to fly a domestic airline, a U.S.-flagged airline from a foreign country to the United States, the TSA now requires you to go through an interview. So if you're in, say, London Heathrow and you're flying American Airlines to New York, there's going to be some security contractor there asking you questions about where you're going, what you're doing there, and so forth. Like they think that they're LO or that they're Customs and Border Patrol or something like that. So I filed suit against this because I was told that if I said no to answering their questions, that they deny me boarding. And there's been some success with that so far. The TSA has now backpedaled, saying that you won't be denied boarding if you refuse to answer the questions. But they're being a little bit sketchy about saying what actually happens. So that lawsuit is also continuing.
Well, here's the big takeaway. Correct me if I'm wrong, because you're probably one of the leading experts on this. The big takeaway is if you don't push back, it's only going to get worse. The power grab, the mission creep, it's never going to end, and it doesn't keep us safe.
Absolutely. The second they think that they're in control of something, that the challenges are done, that the public isn't looking, you know, they released this body scanner change on a Friday night, just like every garbage government document that comes out. They will push forward until you're walking through naked and bending over.
And, of course, they've talked about, actually, well, we've had cases where they would strip search people and grope women's genitals and they're crying and then they admit it. And sometimes these guys flip out. You know, they've settled these lawsuits where they just go, baby, you look good. Can I date you? I mean, even, and then it's on video. They're like, baby, let's go out. I mean, it just.
That's terrible. And if one piece of advice I have for travelers, if the TSA ever asks you to go to a back room with them, don't go. It's not worth the flight to have them in a room with you one-on-one with no cameras and no one watching to make sure they're doing it okay. Just leave the airport. Don't do it.
Well, I definitely had a male TSA guy. He was looking at me like a woman looks at you when they get on their knee. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I was just like, whoa, I cannot. And he was, I was like, and I was just like, whoa. And I mean, we fought him.
Some of them seem to enjoy it. Some of them seem to hate it. Some of them seem angry and want to make you uncomfortable. It's just like any other group of people. The TSA has 60,000 random people that they haven't really screened. And some of them.
Let's talk about that. Let's do 5 more minutes on the other side with Jonathan Corbett, the last show of the year. And then I'm going to get into Jakari's report, more on Trump, more on the economy. Huge news coming up.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I know you deceive me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles.
Jonathan Corbett is our guest. I'm your host, Alex Jones. It is the final InfoWars radio / TV transmission of 2015. Tomorrow we'll kick off 2016 on Friday the 1st, day of January, 2016. This year went by the fastest of any in my life. Of course, they say as you get older, time just speeds up, and that's certainly true. But now I realize that it's also just because the world itself is speeding up. Jonathan Corbett out there battling for everyone's freedom as the occupied, collaborative, globalist-controlled federal government with the UN sets up their whole city initiative, Strong Cities Initiative, to actually put UN buildings controlling the local police and government in every major city. That ties in with the feds and their checkpoints. So you got checkpoints internally in the country, but your front and back door is wide open. A truly sickening joke. Jonathan Corbett, finishing up here, what other little goodies are they planning on rolling out? What are some of their other activities? And, you know, how do we get the public excited and upset again? You know, DrudgeReport.com in the last 5-6 years led the fight with you and others and InfoWars to expose it. And people say, okay, we backed them off for a while, and they reformed some, but now they're coming back again. Well, that's the whole point about a fight, folks. And people should know it's exciting and good to stand up and to speak out and to go leaflet the airport or to go do reports on it or to educate the TSA people. And then separately, I want to briefly talk about, do you agree with my view that we can get mad at the TSA people all day? And obviously they're doing things that are wrong, so they are culpable, unconstitutional, but isn't it a cop-out just to blame them? Shouldn't the real pressure be on Congress, the president, the courts for allowing this travesty? We've got NSA illegal spying, and we've got illegal checkpoints and groping. Go ahead.
Absolutely. You know, these people are doing an unconstitutional job. They're doing something wrong. But at the end of the day, they're doing it because the representatives that we elected are letting them, are telling them to do it, or just complacent and allowing these agencies to run away. You know, you mentioned before that it's really the agencies that are running the show. They're promulgating these rules and regulations, and they don't really have a lot of oversight. And that kind of goes back to how in Congress nothing ever gets done because there's too much fighting between both sides to actually accomplish anything. So in the meantime, while these sides are fighting, the agencies aren't. The agencies are making rules. They're changing things around, and there's no Congress to actually watch them.
Well, you, again, are a humble man, and I know Bob Barr's been fighting this as well and others, but who else would you say is championing the fight? What are some of the other developments? What are some of the other factoids that you can report to our audience?
Sure. As far as civil liberties groups, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, has been at the forefront of this fight. They're the first one to get a court to say that the TSA actually has to go through notice and comment rulemaking, that process of asking for comments from the public before making changes, which is pretty cool. There's another individual kind of like me who has his own lawsuit and filed a motion for a restraining order against this new thing. His name is Sai. You can find him at s.ai. That's his website. There's a travel rights group called Freedom to Travel USA. They help to fund certain things and to provide legal support for a lot of people that are fighting these battles. There's a bunch of stuff going on. I would personally like to see another national opt-out day. We had one of those about 3 or 4 years ago when the body scanners came out. We encouraged everyone on one day to ask to opt out. And I think I'd like to put together one of those pretty soon. So I'm going to see who can join for that one.
I agree. And then we picked it up. Drudge picked it up and hammered it almost daily. Yeah. And Drudge really deserves the lion's share of the credit. And then, of course, the population, more importantly, for taking action. And so what they do, they turned them off for 3 weeks completely so no one could have a chance to exercise their power like Rosa Parks. And so they showing that there was no terror threat and it was totally fake. They announced it and turned them off for 3 weeks nationwide. We need to bring those stories back and remind people about that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So like you were saying, basically in all the airports, they just stopped using the body scanners and then there could be no opt out. And You know, they defeated the protests, I guess, if the protest goal was to clog the system. But if the protest goal was to show that these body scanners aren't necessary, then by far they lost. The body scanners were turned off for, like you said, at least several days, if not weeks, at some airports. And not a single terrorist got through because the body scanners aren't about finding terrorists.
Yeah, we tracked it. The least amount was about a week, and some were a month or more. I just kind of just condensed it down to about 3 weeks on average. And yeah. Then they slowly would open one up and then open them all back up. And it's just absolute total bull. Jonathan Corbett, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for all the work you're doing. We also need to investigate all the people that left Homeland Security to go to these companies that make money off the scanners. It is just incredible. I mean, Chertoff is the tip of the iceberg. Thank you so much, Mr. Corbett.
And thank you, Alex. You know, it's not every media agency that we can count on to actually put forward these stories. But I do know that when new developments come out, you guys always cover it, and I appreciate that.
Hey, brother, I fly. I got children. I mean, I know how ridiculous it is to have open borders and then have, you know, some weird guy groping your genitals. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
It's like a Monty Python episode if it wasn't so serious. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll see you next year. We do have a guest coming up in the next hour. Pastor David Manning, one of my favorite preachers. I'll just be honest. He's so interesting, funny, smart. A lot of times late at night if I can't sleep, which isn't that often, I will go over and watch him. And I smile when I say it because I just like him. And he's like a big old teddy bear or something. He's funny, too. So I told Nico, I said, listen, I keep forgetting to get him on. Like 6 months, a year will go by. Just get Manning on every month. He's just one of those guests like Roger Stone. I mean, you could not get enough of that guy. And I just think about all these amazing guests. I'm like, man, 6 months went by, a year? Why haven't they been on the show? And it's my fault because I'm the one that calls the shots around here. So we're going to have more and more of him on the show because he is true Americana. And he exposes the long-legged Mac Daddy. Imagine having somebody president like Manning. I know it'd be a lot better than Obama. And he just loves Trump. So we're going to get him on coming up here. I want to get to Jakari Jackson's report here in a second. Talk about somebody else I love. Jakari went out to the airport to cover the whole naked body scanner situation. And then I'm going to reconvene after that and get to all this news. I am so focused, though, on covering all the globalism. You notice I've done an hour and 41 minutes and haven't plugged anything. And most shows plug every segment. And they got to. The economy's in trouble. Advertising's in trouble. I get it. We need to do it more often as well and not skip as many breaks or any, quite frankly. If you don't go get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership to see the nightly news and see all my films and stuff, I don't want to shame you here, but you're really not helping the fight. $5.95 a month if you want to go month to month, get a year and get 6 months free. We've never offered that. It runs through, I guess New Year's is already here. So now is the time to become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. We're going to end this in the next week or so. A year membership would be $71. It's $36.50 right now, half off, 6 months free. Normally, you get a couple months free when you sign up for a year. It's $54. Right now, it's $36. Or do month to month, you know, $5.95 if you want to give us more support. But you're giving yourself support. All the globalists take your tax money, then use it against you. But little bits of money, little bits of seed money to fund this operation, you see what we've done. And I'm not bragging, but I like to play that old theme song. What was that show about the stuntman? I might fall from a tall, tall building, might wreck my brand new car. But it is a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. What was the name of that show? The Fall Guy, there you go, the Fall Guy. And I mean, I'm not bragging or anything here, but I mean, people just need to know, this is no joke. And I don't talk enough about stuff here on air that we've gone through or happened because it's kind of creepy and it kind of encourages it, so I don't like to talk about it. Then I talk about it, it sounds so wild, people don't believe it, which I totally get, so then I have to talk more about it, and then it just turns into a whole other deal. But let's just say this, we have a lot of eyes upon us. Because just like Trump's no-nonsense, straight shooting, that's what we do. And we have a lot of good people listening and good people taking action. But at the same time, we're under attack. If you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, The more money we have, the stronger we can be. And I'm just going to leave it at that. The more money we have, the stronger we can be, the more reporters. I mean, right now, a lot of folks are on vacation. They deserve it. We are skeleton crew. It's hard to operate. I need four or five more reporters, four or five more writers. I need some more video editors and camera people. I need other things for this operation. And to sustain our operation, it takes a lot of money. And to be able to stand up against the attacks that we don't even talk about, which we expect. I mean, this is a military operation. I'll just be quite honest with you. That's why it's called InfoWars. People say this guy's got to be with the government or secret groups. The tactics he uses is just right out of stuff they used against the Soviet Union. That's because they're tactics that work, people. I never went and studied those tactics. I organically used those tactics with the truth. And now we are studied by the Pentagon, by groups. It's come out in the Wall Street Journal, other places. We are studied. They just take what we do and try to twist it. It doesn't work. People have a smell for what's real, a taste for what's real, and we are real. That's why every attack you see is about how we aren't real. I remember when I was on the BBC morning show and tore up Bilderberg group member that was there. When I got off the stage, I turned my phone on to shoot it behind the scenes in front of the Bilderberg guy, and they came back 3 minutes later and said, Alex Jones just admitted it's all fake. None of it's real. He just admitted it's all fake. And his guest goes, yes, I saw it. Thank God I literally had video of it and was able to put it out an hour later. Upload it to YouTube. That's what they do, folks. They always say, Alex told me he's a fraud. Alex told me he works for the KGB or he works for the Muslims or he works for the CIA. I wouldn't want to work for the CIA. That's like working for Sears Roebuck. They go, oh, really? Jones got caught with CIA connections. I'm going to skip this last break of the year. I got to skip this break coming up. Tomorrow night, I'm going to play the Jakari report. Because I was honest and talked about when I used to, they're all pretty much dead now, used to go to family reunions in East Texas. It would look like a CIA veterans convention or something. Where do you think agencies like that recruited from? People that were willing to do whatever it took and weren't afraid. So of course, they went crazy in Texas. And all I ever said is before those people died, they pretty much all told me, you're right on track. It's exactly as you say. In fact, it's worse than you say. It's unbelievable. They go, look, he got caught. He admits the connections. He admits the connections. It's like saying he knew somebody that worked for Coca-Cola. You have any idea how big the CIA is? It's not prestigious. It's not cool. It's not fun. It's disgusting. It's out of control. It's been infested by a bunch of bad people that want to destroy this country. And let me tell you, you start talking to people that were in the CIA, every one of them, we've had 50 or more former CIA people on, from Robert Baer to David Steele to just you name it, they'll all tell you, the government's corrupt, it's out of control, it's everything. Cy Hirsch, all these people, what do you think? What's powerful is individuals taking action. What's powerful is people understanding that just a guy from Texas in 21 years with no help at first, with ideas, was able to give the globalists a big run for their money. Because our talking points, our narratives, which are as close to reality as you're going to get, nobody's perfect, are being picked up everywhere. That's what they freak out about in Congress, the Pentagon, everywhere. They can't stand that. They admit our narratives are picked up in Congress. Legislation is passed off information broken on this show by our guests, by our researchers, by our reporters. I'm only a focal point. I'm a guy at the outside of the restaurant saying, hey, we got tables open. Come on in. I'm just a guy getting people's attention. I'm a flare in the night, big, loud, aggressive. But then behind it rolls in the info. And that's great. I get attacked. I get shot down. I get demonized. I get lied about. I'm a big boy. People always attack me, lie about me, physically attack me, sue me, anything. And they go, he just seems to get happy. They go, man, why does this get to him? Because I'm not an idiot. I came to fight. You figured that out yet? I came to die if need be. I came to be chopped up. I came to be put in prison. I came to do whatever it takes. That's why a lot of folks got a feeling I'll live to be a ripe old age and won't get touched. Because when you go into this with the right view, the good Lord's with you. When you don't, you get cut down when you're a coward. But it's not confidence, it's dedication, ladies and gentlemen. It's not arrogance, it's commitment. It's not bragging, it's just facts. You need to know the good news. You need to have good morale. You need to know this is the animating contest for liberty. You need to know there are good people in private business, in private corporate systems, in government, in the military. And I'll tell you something right now that when I was younger and wasn't sophisticated, I didn't understand. The government isn't the problem. We are the problem letting it get to this. We're a reflection of it. We let it get usurped. We let it get conquered. We were cowardly. We were fearful. We were lazy. And the government is a problem, but not as big a problem as the people is what I'm getting at. And there are more awake people in federal, state, and local government than there are anywhere else. Because they're there witnessing it. And they're there taking the orders from corporations and taking the orders from foreign interest. And they see what's happening. And the globalists that have occupied our government want to get us in a fight with the government. They want to get us in a fight as if that's where it's all coming from. It's coming from the New World Order. It's coming from Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and the big banks. It's out of control. So I'm going to tell you right now, in the new year, I'm going to ask you to pray for us. And I want you to pray for this country and the world and for the blinders to be taken off. Please. Or pray however God leads your heart, but just pray. And I want to ask you to commit. The most important thing is to spread the word about this broadcast and to send out the videos and the articles that you think are the most important, that you think are the most informative, on all media platforms you can, aggressively. And for you to start a newsletter, or for you to call into radio, or for you to start a radio show, or for you to take action, or for you to make copies of films, or for you to give PrisonPlanet.tv memberships to folks, and to also make a commitment to start exercising and to start spending more time with your family and to get Survival Shield Nascent Iodine X2 and to get Oxy Powder and flush your guts out and to get Super Male Vitality and experience the things there that can boost you and counter to all the things they're doing to us to fog our minds. We're meant to be crazed. We're meant to be full of lightning. We're meant to be strong. Look at all the old photos. I'm curious, an old photo of black people, white people, Hispanics, whatever. It doesn't matter. I go in some old Mexican restaurant. They got old pictures of people 150 years ago in Mexico. Their eyes have like electricity shooting out of them. Totally alive. You go take a look, black people 150 years ago. They look so alive, it's incredible. Electricity shooting out of their eyes. I look at old photos of my ancestors on both sides. These people look meaner than somebody and smarter than the star of Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Clint Eastwood. I mean, they all look like that in the eye, and let me tell you, they were that. They were lovers, they were fighters, they were killers. And they didn't take crap off anybody. And it wasn't because they were big, tough heroes. It was because they were default mean. They were default tough. They were default not cowards. What's that quote from True Grit? What's that quote he says? I think he says he's mean and he's double tough. Go to YouTube, type in True Grit, Double Tough. I forget the exact quote. People didn't act like they were tough. They were tough. They didn't act like if you shot your mouth off at somebody's wife, they'd say, you get your gun, you come outside right now. You're going to pay for that. They weren't doing that because they were peacocks. They were doing that because they weren't going to be run over. Bill Waters is the best tracker. The meanest one is Rooster Cockburn. A pitiless man, double tough. Fear don't enter his thinking. I'd have to say LT Quentin is the straightest. He brings the prisoners in alive. Where would I find this rooster? I got to say, I better than the John Wayne one. I love the one with the dude. All right, I got to get to the Jakari Jackson report. Let's go ahead and go to this report on the TSA from the Austin International Airport, Bergstrom, the former SAC command base with a giant underground train station that goes all the way out to the hills at Fort Hood where they store the nuclear weapons. And there's a nuclear reactor under UT and two reactors up in North Austin. And when I talk about it, the paper says it's a conspiracy, even though you could Google it all right now and find it's there. The Briar Green Hotel ain't got nothing on ABI. Here it is.
The use of TSA body scanners has been a very controversial topic, with privacy advocates stating that the machines show too much of one's person, health advocates and pregnant mothers concerned about the effects the machines can have on unborn children, citing how X-ray technicians use lead walls before they operate similar types of machinery. With all this in mind, the TSA has quietly phased out or is phasing out the opt-out option, stating how they can strongly suggest that somebody go through the machine as opposed to getting a pat-down. So we're going to ask the people out here what they think about the new change in policy. Oh, excuse me, sir. We're asking people what they think about the TSA change in policy eliminating the pat-down option.
I have not heard about that.
Oh. Well, I didn't have to go through security this morning, but you did. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think as long as they still do a thorough check, then
I judge the world according to how I am. I'm nice, so they're nice.
I actually go through some of the pre-line, so I don't have that deal. So
mm-hmm. Only care about themselves.
I do pre also because I come here too much.
Well, some people are concerned. You see pregnant mothers and health advocates, mm-hmm. they're concerned about the effects the machines can have on things such as unborn children.
Well, okay, so you're talking about eliminating the ability to do a pat down in lieu of the scanner? No, I think they need to keep it for that.
Well, some people are concerned, such as pregnant mothers and health advocates, they're worried about the effects that the body scanners could have on unborn children.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
I mean, from what I've heard and what I've seen online and so forth, is the radiation is really minimal. So I personally think if that's something that you're worried about, probably should figure out a different way to get to where you're going.
Oh, now they're going on the highway.
They're doing that. I don't like being patted at all.
Oh, one normal?
Pet somebody else, okay?
Oh, I agree with you on that one.
I got patted down.
What'd you think about it?
It was very traumatic for me.
What'd you think about your wife going through if she was pregnant?
Well, I'm sure there's probably needs to be more research to find out if it actually happens or not.
It's interesting to note that the shining example for why body scanners are used in the first place is the underwear bomber, a person who was allowed through the security checkpoint many years ago. Meanwhile, a man was able to transport a pistol through security just this year. Also, even though the TSA has yet to stop a single terrorist attack, we saw the state of Texas threatened with a no-fly zone when they sought to oust the agency. And finally, activist John Corbett, who was previously censored by the TSA for posting documents that they themselves released, is suing the agency over the pat-down rule change. And there you have it. More reports at Infowars.com.
Ja'Kari Jackson. Doesn't Ja'Kari Jackson sound like a superhero name? I love it. Who has a cooler name here at the office, Ja'Kari Jackson or Marcos Morales? Marcos Morales sounds like a race car driver's name. Ja'Kari Jackson sounds like, I don't know, like a Green Lantern character or something. Action Jackson. Action Jackson goes around beating people up, right? I barely remember those movies. Okay, let's get serious here because this is serious subjects, and I've got a guest coming up. It's going to be extremely informative. It is the last broadcast of the year. By the way, who's hosting the fourth hour today? Oh, it says that here. Yes, Anthony Gucciardi. We have Pastor David Manning joining us as well coming up. Really, the big theme is they're attacking free speech everywhere. They're now saying ban Trump from the campaign. The media is doing every trick they can. England's talking about banning him from going to the UK. U.S. spy agencies crush congressional demand for more employee scrutiny. Oh, because they're the boss, the bureaucracy. It's like the Federal Reserve said, the Congress has no control over the Federal Reserve. We control the money. Read the Constitution? The Congress has the sole power to issue and control currency and money. But PBS says that's not the case. Just like 2 + 2 = 5. This is the type of garbage they're engaged in, but it's not working anymore because I mentioned the big USA Today article. Why do they want to censor Infowars.com? Why do they want to censor Drudge? Why do they want to do all this? Because we are kicking the living snot out of these people. TV, the old king of U.S. politics, faces mortality. That's a nice way of saying TV, the old king of lying and manipulating the mindless masses, faces its death. And wouldn't mainstream media announce the death of itself a few years too late? That's good, though. They don't know they're already dead. They've still got a little bit of snot-nosed confidence. And that's only going to help us defeat them.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up, Pastor David Manning will be joining us. We'll have open phones, 800-259-9231 for first-time callers, specifically with questions or comments for Pastor Manning. I'm Alex Jones. If you just joined us, 800-259-9231. Coming up, census. International migration to the U.S. adds one person to the USA every 29 seconds. That is some of what is coming up. And Obama is going to bring in ultra-massive 30-plus million worker visas. They're having them print them up right now, just outside of law. Just absolute insane asylum-level garbage. That's all coming up. But when Congress says, hey, stop spying on us and scrutinize your employees, the NSA and others just say, shut up, we run you, scum. And Congress then rolls over on their belly like a little puppy and, you know, pee-pees on themselves in fear. Here's John Bowne's report on that.
When it comes to telephone calls, every member of Congress has been briefed on this program. With respect to all these programs, the relevant intelligence committees are fully briefed on these programs. These are programs that have been authorized by broad bipartisan majorities repeatedly since 2006. And at the outset, it's important to understand that your duly elected representatives have been consistently informed on exactly what we're doing.
The apparatus of the Obama administration's NSA tentacles apparently have zero boundaries. After spying on journalists, foreign dignitaries, and the average Joe, it has finally now come to light that Obama and company have been spying on Congress itself.
I'm appalled by when we listen in on foreigners' conversation when they're talking to Americans. We're scooping up tens of thousands of conversations of Americans. This is a real problem because it's a real invasion of our privacy.
At this point, it wouldn't surprise anyone if funeral arrangements for the Fourth Amendment were announced within the next few days.
Does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly.
As the communications of allies such as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu were monitored, so were their interactions with U.S. members of Congress, as well as American private interest groups, with links to the foreign leaders. One unnamed U.S. official revealed to the Wall Street Journal that the practice raised fears. Oh, shit. The executive branch would be accused of spying on Congress. The Obama administration were wary of this and so simply allowed the NSA to decide what to share without making any specific requests. We didn't say, do it, a senior U.S. official said. We didn't say, don't do it.
You can see how it would stifle speech if you're going to eavesdrop on congressmen and that it might stifle what they say or who they communicate with. We absolutely need more controls on the NSA and more controls on our intelligence agencies.
Forget controls, Senator Paul. We need heads to roll. And where is the president during this unprecedented breach of the Constitution? If you hadn't noticed, President Obama is down in Hawaii on an extended 2+ week vacation that is costing taxpayers no less than $470,000 per day. Once Obama finally leaves office, if he does, he will have spent nearly $70 million of taxpayer money on just 7 Hawaiian vacations alone. The last time I checked, the president's annual salary was $400,000 per year, with a $50,000 annual expense account and $19,000 for entertainment. When did anybody agree to fund $70 million of taxpayer money so that our thief in chief could live like a billionaire and focus on the new Star Wars film while putting his toes in the sand and simultaneously destroying our founding principles? Early this morning, a House panel hastily announced it had opened an investigation into the overreaching intelligence collection of Congress. Can you hear that sound? That's the sound of Tricky Dick rolling in his grave.
I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
John Bound for InfoWars.com.
Well, he was an angel, Kay, compared to Obama.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
By the way, there's a giant skyscraper on fire in Dubai. And they believe it might have been started by fireworks. They're not sure. And the whole building just has red flames, white flames shooting up through it. We have the video up on InfoWars.com. You guys might be able just to punch up CNN. It was just on in there for TV viewers. And it's not collapsing. But Tower 1, Tower 2, and Building 7 all collapsed magically. And then they announced an hour before that it fell symmetrically, Building 7, before it even fell. So they got their official story out a little bit too early that day. Kind of like it was announced an hour before he was even arrested in Australian papers that Lee Harvey Oswald was the killer of Kennedy. Sometimes people don't get their time zones right. You know, private company people screw up too. And the CIA does sometimes too, don't they? But there's the building. I mean, will it collapse in on itself? I mean, obviously small parts of it will fall, but not the main superstructure. The fire has just been burning for a long time. Now it's engulfed much of the building. Again, a lot of people are radio listeners. That's the main bulk of this audience. But a large part of it is TV. Infowars.com/show and some UHF VH systems and, of course, cable in places like Houston, Texas, carrying the transmission. I want to thank all those folks carrying the show, all the sponsors, and wish you a hopefully good new year without World War III with the Russians and more. So, Donald Trump comes out, and Donald Trump says that until they start checking refugees coming in from Muslim countries, we've got to block all these Muslims from coming in. And the media cuts it to him saying, block all the Muslims coming in. And then we have articles out of CBS News, you name it, we just showed them last hour, where 150 people from Mexico, from all over the world, fly in at JFK, where Pastor Manning is up in New York, and they just say, these people are allowed to walk in through customs, nothing's checked. And there's no investigation, nothing happens. All over the country, the Border Patrol is ordered to, quote, complete the smuggling process and load people on buses from all over the world. We're not making this up. We were told by ICE to go down to McAllen, Texas. We got it on video. The New York Times had to admit it months later. There's New York Daily News with the headline, 150 people from a flight from Mexico allowed to bypass customs, show no IDs. But Donald Trump needs to be banned from the UK. The government says they're now actually looking at banning him because hundreds of thousands of people signed a petition. So if hundreds of thousands sign a petition to arrest him, will you? How about arrest Alex Jones? Sounds like Nazi Germany. We know most of the refugees, almost all of them, are Sunni that invaded Syria and are now being kicked out by the Russians. And so they're supposed to come here, shoot people and blow stuff up, a small minority of them, and then our rights will be taken. And they call Donald Trump a racist. I'll tell you something right now. Obama comes out and says he's disqualified from running, as if he waves a magic wand. Well, I guess he does. He says executive orders next week to restrict the Second Amendment, Politico's reporting. California and other states have passed laws to just take your guns with no proof, no threats, no nothing, as a, quote, wellness check. just like the old Soviet Union. It's here, folks. Lawless, out of control corporate interest running our country into the ground. And they sit there with a straight face and say, you didn't build your business and Obamacare is free or you can keep your doctor. All meant to run this country into the ground and break our spirit, break our will. And I know Hillary's evil. I know Obama's evil. I know Bernie Sanders is just an out of control rat. And then there's Donald Trump. And I wasn't completely sold on him 6 months ago, even 2 or 3 months ago, but I've seen what he's done now. I've seen how they're coming out against him. I've seen how both parties are giving money against him. I've seen how they lie about him, how they won't show his crowds. Every dirty trick they've got to misrepresent what he says or what he stands for. And it's blowing up in their faces because they have such little credibility. We've reached that moment where they have such little credibility, regardless of who Donald Trump is, good, bad, or a little bit of a mix of both like most of us. He doesn't want to destroy this country, that much is clear. He doesn't want to mount America's head on the wall like he's conquering it, like the Democratic Party's doing. It's mentally ill. It's satanic. And Pastor Manning was right. I remember having him on before Obama got in office, and he said, look out, he wants to destroy the country. He wants to bankrupt everything. He's a radical Muslim. All this is going to happen. I said, listen, I love hearing your preaching, and you're a great guy, and you're really smart, but I just think you're going too far. And he said he's going to create all this racial division, and he's going to bring in all these problems, and that's their plan to destabilize. And I said, Manning, you're wrong. That was 8 years ago, the year before Obama got in office. And now I just cannot believe the documents came out. He's funding the overthrow of Egypt, and CNN endorsed it for the Muslim Brotherhood and groups to murder every Christian, blow up churches, crucify people on the streets. I mean, my God. And then Anderson Cooper. I'm not losing the Lord's name in vain. I'm saying, my God, help us. I just can't help but cry out to God when I realize we have leaders that actually want to kill us. So joining us is the head of OTLA. And, of course, he is a person for decades teaching and free lunches and meals for the kids there in Harlem. Going up against, he was here almost 6 months ago, and he said, we're going to bring down Al Sharpton. You now see Sharpton being removed and, you know, being brought to the weekends and all the rest of it. And he prayed for it. He said it, and it's actually happening. He is the mafia don that runs Harlem. In my view, I call him a mafia don, a political mafia don. James David Manning is the chief pastor at Otla World Missionary Church in New York City. Manning has been in Otla since 81, and he stands for all the land anointed holy, which is God named for Harlem. And I'm not going to get into all his degrees and background and the rest of it and what he's done, but he's been very successful at waking folks up, and we salute him and his work, and he has been proven right on so many fronts. Pastor Manning, I thought you were being alarmist 8 years ago, but I tell you, we are in a fight for our lives right now. I mean, we are up against a satanic force. You're absolutely right.
No, we are at war, Alex. There's no doubt about that, and I've started a campaign to get Trump elected. Need to get him past the Republican nomination process, which is going to be very difficult, because you've got both Democrats and Republicans working together to stop him with every power that they can muster. But we have called for Harlem for Trump. And I got to tell you, Alex, black people here in Harlem are touting that Trump is the man. They're finally hearing what they thought they were going to hear in Obama. They're hearing a man who's speaking truth to power. I wasn't for Trump. And Alex, I don't generally endorse candidates. I usually run them down to run down their pedigrees and talk about them and try to give people some idea how to make a choice. But Donald is the man. There's no doubt about it. He is the man for America. Obama has, in fact, Donald, Alex, is perhaps the only man I know right now that can put America back together again, because Obama has destroyed it. And anybody else who gets into power, who sits down in that Oval Office, is going to continue the policies of Obama and continue the destruction of this nation. Listen, you mentioned Anderson Cooper a few moments ago in Egypt, and we can come back to that, and we can talk about that as a major subject at some point in time. But I got to tell you, Anderson Cooper ought to be put on trial. But he and Obama working to destroy the relationship that Egypt had with Israel, and to destroy the relationship that Egypt had with America, and to set off what it was now known as the Arab Spring or the Egyptian Spring.
They've now joined the Russians. They drove our oldest ally after Israel away from us. They're destroying the country.
Yeah, and I you know, Donald is the only man that will look at this truthfully and say we as Americans cannot be great again until we examine this, and somebody needs to go to trial. Somebody needs to hit the gavel of a judge, say life sentence or something on that order, especially Anderson Cooper.
That is why this is happening. Nobody ever gets punished now for their crimes.
Yeah, you know, you can see that in the banking industry, Wall Street, these banking thieves, these banksters never get arrested for all of what they do in criminality in terms of banking. But now we see it in the media and politics as well.
You predicted what Obama would do. What do you expect him to do in this last year in office? I mean, the word is the hammer's coming down next week.
Well, yeah, and I suspect that it will. I think that word is an accurate word. And you used the word lawlessness and with respect to Obama. And I thought to myself as you were speaking that the lawlessness is not without purpose. If Obama can somehow or another bring about a reason for martial law, then that's what we're going to have to drink. That's what we're going to have to eat. That's what we're going to have to look at in order that Obama might maintain his power. You know, how he's going to do it, I'm not sure. But I can tell you that he's not ready to give up that power for several reasons. One is that he thinks himself in terms of an egomaniac, that he ought to always be president. I mean, I saw that in him 6-7 years ago. I'm not sure exactly where we are, but I know martial law is on the table, Alex.
And people need to get ready. Well, that's what Soros and the State Department do everywhere else, and they're clearly trying to do it. And that segues into Black Lives Matter and the whole police thing. No one can deny there's big problems with police departments. The Bill of Rights is in trouble. But when they make that the center issue to destabilize them and then have the Democratic Party and the UN with these city initiatives, strong cities initiatives, actually take them over. I mean, this is scary.
Well, actually, what they're doing with items like Black Lives Matter is trying to see which is the most explosive issue to start either a race war. You know, they're talking about taking down the statue of Robert E. Lee there in New Orleans. I'm sure you've been to New Orleans. You've seen you've seen that statue in front of the St. James Infirmary. You've seen that statue. It's a beautiful statue. They're talking about taking down the statue of Beauregard, taking down Jefferson Davis. And I got to tell you, they do that, you're going to get the sons of the Confederacy rising up to say, the hell no. We've had enough. We don't have a nation left anymore. So we've got to take to arms to defend our nation. They're testing which will go, Black Lives Matter or fighting the Confederates or the sons of the Confederacy, I think.
That's right. They're trying to stir everybody up.
Right. Yeah. And to get an explosive situation where Obama can then declare martial law and he will be become the supreme law person in America. And whatever he says goes, there'll be no constitution. Nobody will have any constitutional protection. You, Alex, will not be able to broadcast. I can tell you that right now. They will shut you down like a cheap suit. They will not let you broadcast. So,
a major Supreme Court justice, I'm not at liberty to say which one, but we can probably make a guess, who's friends with Matt Drudge, told him at dinner, you know, at a private party, he said, I've been told they got the votes next year. They're coming to shut down talk radio, the Christian churches with the IRS. Look at all the persecution we've already seen against the press. I mean, it is incredible.
Well, yeah, it is this talk radio, this press that you do so well that maintains America. Whether Americans realize it or not, you're feeding, and I'm to some degree feeding information to people, giving them hope and giving them the alternative. You know, the other thing about Donald Trump, if I could just mention him once again, is that anybody that goes at the entire press, for Donald, there is no liberal, there is no conservative.
He just shows how they lie.
Yeah, I mean, he calls them all liars. I mean, and he doesn't bite his tongue. Yeah, you got to know that this man understands something critical.
They've been
about
disrespecting us forever. He just throws it. Now, let's talk Donald Trump. You've got the floor. Let's talk about why you don't normally support candidates, but you like Trump. Go ahead.
Well, you know, because politicians are politicians, Alex. You know that, and you've seen the way in which our nation has gone over the past generation. So, I mean, politicians—they are who they are. They're usually bought and paid for by big money donors like George Soros, or even the Koch brothers, and they owe their allegiance to these persons that pay their bills. And what they do is that they support politicians support each other. Doesn't matter whether Democrat or Republican, and they shaft the people. The reason why I'm supporting Donald Trump is Donald Trump supports the people and shafts the politicians. Listen, Alex, I was in a meeting not long ago at Trump Tower with 80-some preachers, all black pastors, various churches. You know who they are and how they behave themselves. I've been a pastor for over 30-some years, and I know the mindset of Christians in the church and how Christians act one towards the other and pastors one towards the other. Alex, I was with Donald for 3 hours. This man sat in a meeting with 83 preachers, most of which, if not all of which, except for me, were telling him he needed to apologize for roughing up the Black Lives Matter guy that tried to disturb his meeting down in Alabama, I think it was. But he sat there with the kind of patience I don't think Dr. King could have handled those preachers. And not just with patience, but respect.
He has scary stamina. He has scary stamina. That's one reason I admire.
No, man, it's incredible, Alex. It's incredible what he was able to do. That scary stamina is a great phrase to identify him. But he did that. And not only that, but he if someone was speaking, and it was just garbage coming out of the mouth of these preachers, but he paid attention. I mean, he didn't obfuscate anybody. He didn't belittle anybody. He let people talk. And even though the meeting ran overtime, he still sat there and listened to what they had to say and addressed everything. Nobody felt the bum rush from Donald Trump. I said, this is my man. I got to support him because he was honest, he was integral, and I think he'll do the same thing with America.
Well, I've learned some of the inside stuff about it, and he's a free market guy. He's certainly not perfect. He's very dominant, very aggressive. The thing they try to demonize, male strength, people are very hungry for that. That's why they tried to kill it.
And, right, absolutely.
And they've done it in the family. They've done it everywhere, as you've documented. As you know, the black community was the beta test, but it's for everybody, and it's working really nicely. The country's falling apart. But Trump really doesn't like seeing America killed. He really doesn't like all these foreign interests. He said that are tax-exempt, but he's not, and a blue-collar worker isn't. And when he comes out and says these brokerage firms aren't going to be tax-exempt, they're going to bring their money back here, and we're not going to shut off our power plants, and we're going to do better trade deals— I mean, that would turn this country back on. And listen, it's hard to suppress America. The Federal Reserve used to say the economy is overheating at 3% growth. We're going to put a blanket on it. That's what they're doing, sitting on us, deciding winners and losers, giving Obamacare waivers to big companies, but not to little ones. We've got a mafia-style government, and it needs to come to an end, and Donald Trump is ready to blow it to hell. What do you expect they're going to try to do to Trump? Because the demonization isn't working, Pastor Manning.
Well, I tweeted, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that Donald Trump is in grave danger, and not just from the Democrats. He's in grave danger from Rance Priebus and Karl Rove and Obama. Every power source wants to take Donald down. You know, I haven't seen in my heart or felt in my spirit, Alex, that they're going to try to, you know, assassinate him, that kind of a thing. But I haven't taken that off the table as a possibility, or Donald meeting with some unfortunate incident. You open up with this fire that's going on in Dubai at that hotel there, this very exclusive luxury hotel in Dubai, which is really an Arabic, if you will, but an appendage of American government. You know, they could set Trump Tower on fire. Donald could meet with some unfortunate incident that would be as ridiculous as both World Trade Centers falling flat after being hit 45 minutes earlier, both falling without any kind of well, it looked like they were falling with the power of a dynamite blow up rather than power of planes.
That's what Dan Rather said.
Donald may meet some unfortunate, and I'm not taking that off the table, but I'm praying.
Well, their favorite thing,
God,
I agree, we need to pray for them.
Let it happen.
Their favorite thing to do is blow up your airplane.
Yeah, they could do that. I mean, they because he's always on that plane flying various places, but that would be so obvious. You know, I think they realize that.
Well,
would be
I've
too
been
obvious.
Told he's got private security and the Secret Service, and I was told by, I'll just leave it this, insiders, that the Secret Service has never been more concerned. They are literally basically have their guns out all the time.
Well, we met with Secret Service when I went down to talk with him or meet with him at Trump Tower, and they were all over the place. I mean, they were. Like, yeah, you couldn't get through the entrance gate without going through them. He has his own security service, as you very well know. But you could tell the CIA and Homeland Security, those guys were there in big numbers. But, you know, listen, I heard a report yesterday that 4 Secret Service agents got arrested up at the border of Massachusetts and Connecticut, and nobody knows why. What were they doing up there? They were involved in an automobile accident, and nobody knows what they were doing there. And it still hasn't been reported. I think the story has been covered up. What were the Secret Service agents doing up there with no person that they were guarding? We know what happened down in, I forget the name of the, Argentina, not long ago, with the Secret Service being involved with prostitution and child prostitution. We know that they have been lax, on the job, drunk, running into the barriers at the White House. So, you know, I would not give the Secret Service the credibility to protect Donald that I think we would normally do under normal circumstances.
Well, expanding on that, normally, like with RFK or JFK, it's inside jobs, and it's going to be the security right there with them that actually does it. I wouldn't say it'd be the Secret Service, but I tell you, the factions of the CIA and others, they better watch it, though, because people don't buy what the... And that goes back to what I first said. I don't want your view on this, Pastor Manning. The fact that Donald's filled this vacuum shows how little credibility mainstream media has, dinosaur media has, and the fact that the more they demonize him, the more popular he gets, that's really got to scare them and let them know they're not in the same ball game they used to be in.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, I've stated, if Donald can do to the media and to the political process that we see going forth in his primary campaign, he's got everybody turned on their heels. Nobody can figure out what's happening. Nobody can predict what's going to happen next with Donald. But everybody who loves America loves what Donald's doing. If he can do this to the political process, Alex, think what he can do to the American government once he sits down in that Oval Office. And talking about these corporations and not paying interest or not paying taxes, I believe that Donald could bring jobs back from China. He could bring jobs back from India.
You don't even have to be a genius. You just snap your fingers and say, we turn back on 1,000 power plants. The electricity price gets cut in half. I mean, just stuff like
right.
that. Boom.
Right. We could have 7 jobs for every American with Donald as president. And I think the powers that be know this. So where's it going to go from here, I think, is not necessarily anybody's guess. But if I have anything to do with, and I think the people I'm talking to offline have anything to do with, we're going to put Donald in that Oval Office.
That's what's exciting. Pastor Manning, stay there. I want to come back and get the calls, but I want to hear from you, because I know you wouldn't say it if it wasn't the case. Because, you know, you were talking about how popular Sharpton was. You're still going to go up against him. You're saying Donald's getting pretty popular in Harlem with black unemployment doubling under Obama. I want to hear about that straight ahead. Otla.org. Stay with us.
Now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Don't forget, it is listeners and viewers like you, not taxpayers. Like MSNBC or, oh yeah, they get stimulus money, or NPR. We're funded by you. InfoWars, Nightly News, all my films, 15 years of material, 20 people can use each membership. 6 months free right now at prisonplanet.tv. And yes, then we put out almost everything else to the public on YouTube and Facebook, but you're helping fund our own platform where you get it live, you get it first, you get exclusive video podcasts, commercial-free, special events, a lot more, but that isn't the reason to support it. You want to support it because it gets the InfoWar funding, and you can get your friends and family to be able to tune in by giving them your username. 20 people can use it simultaneously. 20 memberships for $36 a year or $5.95 a month. It's half off right now, prisonplanet.tv. Don't be lazy. Take the minute or two it takes to sign up, and then take the time to send emails to friends and family and say, hey, pretty powerful nightly news, 7 o'clock. Hey, check out this film. It's in HD here. Here's my username. That's how we're going to reach more people. We've got 15% off across the board on the store. We started this gift card thing. There's a lot of gift cards, people, you know, cash cards. People got confused because so many cards are proprietary to a certain store. You know, it's a Barnes & Noble's card. It works there. A Target card, it works there. So just 15% off across the entire store. That's going to go for one more week. Got a bunch of discounts as well. But they really are game-changing products. when you talk about the nutraceuticals at InfoWarsLife.com, that is the products that we've developed with top experts, three of the top companies in the nation. Super organic. Try Brain Force. Try Super Male Vitality or Female Vitality. Try Survival Shield X2, the good halogen, the true nation iodine. As best we can tell, nobody else has got true, real nation iodine. This is actually it. Turns bright blue on paper. That's what color iodine is, not red. That's just an example. You know, we take the raw iodine. Nobody's got this. This stuff turns into gas in the open air until it's injected into the organic palm oil. So we're showing, I mean, it's like the purple stuff that, you know, I dream a genie, she flies out, it's purple mist. It's like the same thing. In fact, I'm going to be honest, this actually came out of the genies. I'm joking, folks. InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139 as we just steam right in to 2016. And I can't think of a better guest to end the year with than somebody like Pastor David Manning, because since the early 80s, he's been there, one guy with a dream, now with thousands of people coming to his church, tens of thousands of people in Harlem he's helping with his great congregation, and then standing up, getting political, fighting back, going through a lot of heat, having the CIA show up, the Secret Service, you name it, going through a lot. You know, he's an example. He won't save America. I won't save America. Donald Trump in the end won't do it. It'll be God that does that, but God helps those that helps themselves. We all have to carry the ball together, and then there will be more voices. One of my favorite quotes, I haven't given in probably a year, is Mark Twain. In the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And we are seeing the real attempt to bankrupt this country to dominate us through economic conquest. I mean, this is it. That isn't rhetoric, folks. It's happening. And you said Obamacare wouldn't happen. It happened. You said they wouldn't come after the guns. They're coming. They're coming after the free speech. Most generations that go under tyranny don't believe it could happen to them, or they think the tyranny comes like the last generation, like Hitler or a Stalin. No. No, it comes in corporate conquest with these front people. These corporations know if they can be faceless, nameless, and bankrupt you and exempt themselves from the laws and taxes, they run your life. You're now a slave. So while we're all having our rights stolen and our birthright destroyed, they're up there telling us all to fight with each other over what color we are. That's divide and conquer. Now, Pastor Manning, I've got my questions. I want to go to calls. But first off, you say the community there in Harlem really waking up and really liking Donald Trump. I'd like you to elaborate on that, please. That's very exciting news, because it just shows they're thinking outside of the box, regardless of what somebody thinks about Trump. And then I want to ask you what you think Obama's going to try to do in his last 11 months or so in office, sir.
Let me explain to you why I'm convinced that Harlem will vote for Trump, and communities like Harlem, Southwest Chicago, South Central Los Angeles will vote for Trump in the primary, also in the election. Number one is that my enemies have become trusted. My enemies now trust me, I think is the best way I want to phrase that. Yeah, my enemies now trust me. Alex, I'm here in Harlem. I'm not on the outskirts of New York City. I'm not in the Bronx or Brooklyn. I'm in the middle of Harlem. I'm in the vortex of the flagship of the black community, African-American community, if you will. I'm here and I've been here for 30 years. The people in this community have seen me stand up against the civil rights organizations. They've seen me stand up. I led a protest when Obama came to Harlem, the one time he has come here. I led a protest against him very successfully, and the people in the community watched that. The people have heard me talk about Obama, talk about him the same way you heard me identify who he is, that he does not care anything about black people, that he's a ripoff artist, he's a con man, he's a pimp, that he's a long-legged
Mac. He seems to go out of his way to hurt black people.
Huh?
Yeah. He seems to go out of his way to hurt blacks.
But the people have heard me say those things, Alex. Then they saw me go against Al Sharpton, another one of their favorites, and one that Al Sharpton being a favorite of Obama that has been to the White House more than 83 times. The people in this community, the black people in this community, quietly watched me fight Obama, fight Al Sharpton, and be successful at both of them. And they've watched me do it with, if you don't mind my saying so humbly, a modicum of integrity and commitment and service to them. They now trust me. So when I tell them Donald Trump is the man, they believe it, and they're going to vote for him. But not just that. People are for Donald Trump because for the same reason you're for him. Black people, that is. They hear him speaking the truth and speaking truth to power and destroying the political process. One other thing, Alex, I got a fellow that works with me in my programming named Bob Jackson. He does a lot of promos for me. He helped me take down Al Sharpton, and I want to introduce you to him because I think y'all can work together doing a whole lot of things.
Sure, Bob, I'd love Jackson, to get him on. Absolutely. You want to, I mean, you're introducing him right now?
Yeah, I don't know. Do we have one of Bob Jackson's clips that we can play right now? He's a great promo clip maker.
Well, let's do this. We'll talk to him soon. Getting back there before we go to calls.
I'll put you in touch with him later. Right now, you and I need to continue.
That was my next question, though. And that's what I love about you. You're always just like reading my mind, or I'm reading your mind, and we're like synced here. I mean, you don't toot your horn, but do it because it's an example of success others can emulate. You went after Sharpton that, I mean, folks burn up in buildings that mess with him. I mean, this guy's serious business. You went up against him like a year ago, and I thought, man, Manning really has got some, you know what's, but but it's happening now. He's getting moved off MSNBC. He's in trouble. I mean, and now he's going against their own other mafia don in Chicago, Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel.
I mean, they're fighting with each other, no honor among thieves.
Yeah, because Obama has kicked him to the curb. MSNBC has demoted him from a 5-night-a-week spot in prime time to 8 o'clock on Sunday morning when ain't nobody watching him and nobody going to watch him.
By the way, that's how they got rid of Piers Morgan at first. When they move you from prime time to a one-hour show once a week, that is firing you. That's just kind of letting out a you-know-what in church real quietly.
No, Sharpton is gone. And I say we took him down, Alex. We marched against him. We stood out in front of his studio where he goes in and MSNBC. We were out there several days. We stood in front of several major dealers, advertisers like BMW and restaurants that were local here that advertised on this broadcast. They came out and told us we are not advertising anymore. We took Sharpton down. No, we took him down. I'm not being modest about that.
Well, you certainly fired the flare gun and said charge. I would agree. Your horse was at the head in the charge.
Alex, let me let you listen to a little taste of a promo that Bob Jackson put together for us, and we played this outside of MSNBC and outside of the advertisers. Listen to this. This is Bob Jackson.
Fire Al Sharpton, Al Sharpton. 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 No way he scream and stomp. We want two dead cops. Al got his wish, y'all. The way he race bait on MSNBC, Black Trick and Dickie. And FBI snitch. Al keeps staying rich, not paying taxes.
Yeah.
Police angry. New York's finest turner booties.
I got some of these inside. That's super bad.
They're telling you fire Al Sharpton.
You got to get in touch with Bob. I'm going to put him in touch with you.
That is beautiful. Please send me that song if you want us to make a music video with it. That is powerful, sir. Thank you. Great job.
I'll have my producer get it right out to you. He's extraordinary. I got at least 100 pieces by Bob Jackson.
Please, we want to play him. I bet Rush Limbaugh will end up playing him. Wow. I tell you.
I bet you will if you get it, if you can get it.
Amazing.
But go ahead, Al. I'm sorry, Alex.
Well, just in closing, I want to go to these calls with you. In closing of my questions, what do you expect him to launch next? Because obviously the empire is going to strike back. People are really awake. They're trying to destroy Trump. Not that he's perfect, but he does now basically represent people that are against this globalist takeover. They've set him up as our champion, so if they knock him down, it hurts us. But this awakening isn't going to stop just with Trump.
No, it isn't. And right now, Obama's in control, and there's no separation of powers between Democrats and Republicans as far as that is concerned. I see a terrorist event, not here, but with one of our allies, that will force Obama. And the reason why I say not here, Alex, is because Obama is deeply in bed with the promotion of ISIS, with the promotion of terrorism, with the promotion of Islam around the planet. And they understand that process. a major event here in America would render Obama powerless against the rage of the American people. But in Paris or in Germany or in some other place, it might not be so, but it would give Americans pause to be cautious and allow our liberties to be taken away from us, martial law to be put in place so we could be checked, our guns taken away from us, every last gun.
Well, I agree with you. That's where it's, I mean, you would think if they bring in all these radicals, they shoot up, they blow stuff up, the government gets in trouble. No, they just go, no, veterans and gun owners and Christians, you're the terror threat. We're going to take your rights because the terrorist attacked. And then they don't get in trouble bringing the terrorist in. What is the calculus there? Where are they coming up with this?
Well, I've asked this question time and time again about why and what's the motive behind it. It's the sin motive. It's the old sin motive of greed and of power.
Radical Islam hates us, and they hate us too. So the socialists are combined with it. It's just a match made in hell.
Yeah. And we, as the American people, Donald Trump has awakened the spirituality. Donald Trump has awakened the patriotism of Americans. You know, Alex, I have said, and I'll stand on this the way I stood on Obama, being the freak that he is that Donald Trump has the power to bring racial unity to this nation like no other person has ever been in the past, or I doubt even in the future. I believe that, and I stand on that. And that's one of the reasons why they are afraid of Donald Trump as they are, because he can take the black vote and the Latino vote and still build a wall down there on the border. I believe that.
Amazing. We'll see what happens. Regardless, it's a big illustration of the way. Speaking of martial law, Mike in Idaho has a point or a question on that. Thanks for calling, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Manning,
I think
you're right about martial law coming to the U.S. under Obama. And one of the reasons is recently I just saw a brand new show that's coming out in 2016. It's a weekly television show called Colony, and the whole show is about a totalitarian takeover of the U.S. and martial law. And throughout the show, they ask the question, which side would you be on? Either a collaborator or with the resistance, and you can go vote on that. And I think what that show does,
they're profiling people.
The poll.
Absolutely. They are beta tested. Undoubtedly, they're getting everybody ready. And I'm telling you, martial law is in the cards. In Europe, they've already declared civil emergency, banning criticism in any way of Islam or open borders. So they won't call it martial law, but they've told Drudge and others that they're coming after our free speech next year. Pastor Manning?
No, martial law is the only option left on the table. My only question, Alex, as I've been over the last hour explaining, is how they're going to implement it. What will be the catalyst?
They're going to start a race war, aren't they?
What will be the kindling point?
But you can see them hyping it up. I mean, whether obviously there's some bad cases of racism against black people and stuff going on. But the point is that a reason to have a war and burn everything down so George Soros can take over? I mean, it's so obvious. They're trying to stir everybody up.
Well, I mean, you know, this business of Black Lives Matter and other racial, they did nothing but the acorn, if you will, revisited from what they were some time ago. But this is the only option right now. And black people being a part of a reason why you could claim that we ought to, you know, there ought to be martial law because of the killing of black people. Listen, black people kill each other 1,000 times more than any white police officer ever dreamed of.
Well, I know, you're absolutely right about 98% more dangerous. But, I mean, you're right. What I'm saying is they're going to try to get riots going. They've been trying as hard as they can.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure exactly. I think a better shot at the getting riots going would be to awaken the Sons of the Confederacy, of which I would love to fight with. And I've said so. I've said so for the past 6 years since my video I put out called White Rodney King. I think they have a better shot at that than they do, because a lot of black men are in jail, many of them are on drugs, and they're just not battle ready, Alex. black men are battle ready. They're not, and the ones that are not on drugs or in jail are pinching those fags, if you will. They're just not battle ready. But now the Sons of the Confederacy, you're talking about a different group. You're talking about a group that's locked and loaded, and they've got a reason to fight for this nation. Whereas black folk might fight for a bigger food stamp card or fight for more, whatever it is they're going to fight for. But, I don't see black folk fighting for America. I see them burning down communities. But, Sons of the Confederacy, we're talking a different animal altogether.
Well, I know they like to stir that up, and we know the Civil War was manipulated and staged. People should be peaceful, offensively peaceful. But if they start trying to take guns or put political leaders in prison or grab Christian leaders, which the IRS persecution is the first phase of, at a certain point, you get pushed into a corner. I think you're right. They're trying to push folks into a corner. Mike, I appreciate your call. Jeff, Craig, Adam, Cameron, others, your calls are straight ahead. We'll have Pastor Manning 5 minutes in the next hour. Then Anthony Gucciardi comes in and breaks down the latest news on how the government may be hacking into emails and the latest news as well as it takes your calls and premieres new special reports. I think you'll be in this seat. Here it sits when we come back.
Your women crying, look at your young men dying, the way they've always done before.
Pastor James David Manning is our guest, Otla.org. Go see his amazing preaching and his daily news reports and radio show, TV show, Otla.org. And again, you could start a video podcast. You could start a radio show if you have the passion. And then just move forward. This is a guy who reaches millions of people every week. And that's why I just admire what he's done. Because so many people get into fighting tyranny to, I guess, be stars or be cool. And then they get mad at other hosts and mad like their competition. We don't have a future if these people win. I'm not in competition with Rush Limbaugh or Matt Drudge or David Manning or World Net Daily or anybody. Glenn Beck, I don't care. I wanted to preserve the Bill of Rights and Constitution. I don't want them sexualizing five-year-olds in public schools. Bunch of freaks. They're taking us over. They're conquering us. It's time to say no. Jeff in Florida, you're on the air with Pastor Manning.
Yes, sir. Two of my favorite people in the world. You guys are awesome.
Well, thank you, brother. You're awesome. What's on your mind?
God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Pastor Manning, I just called your office yesterday. I got a song for you. Give this one to Bob Jackson. Hit the road, the rock. Don't you go back no more, no more, no more.
All right. Sir, so you have a question for him about 2016?
Anyway, yes, sir. I did. I wanted to know, what do you guys think? What's going to happen this next year? We've got so many things that have happened to us in the last year. Over all the false flags, from the shootings to the fires, to the drills going on right under our noses. I'm a small family with one child. I want to do the best. I come down here from Denver, Colorado. I watched everything go down from Columbine to...
Well, brother, I would just say this. Pray to God to lead God and direct you. That's always the best thing that I do. And then just the answers come to me literally. I don't mean to get religious, folks, but there's no atheists in foxholes. I'm led by the Spirit.
Alex, let me chime in on that question about 2016. I would suggest to everyone whose heart is true and right before Almighty God that we would get ready to enter into major leadership from a patriot point of view, from a biblical point of view, because it's our responsibility to fight this tyranny. And so I would say to people that God will be sending out the anointing and the power for us to take major leadership positions. I just discussed that a few moments ago before the show with one of our leading elders in the church. We need to get ready to lead.
That's I've been really feeling that and seeing that. I've never wanted to do that, but I really feel that's the office I've got
to. You need to do it. Need to do it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, so
go
you're
ahead.
Picking that up, too, in your gut?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that it's our time. In fact, we have to do it. We have a charge from Almighty God to do it. And there are a number of people that are dependent upon us to be able to do it. And we're going to have to do it. If we don't do it, we're going to all go to Guantanamo Bays all over the world. And that ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen. So we got to get ready to lead. We just got to get ready.
That's right. We're in the fight, whether we admit it or not. We're not looking for this.
Absolutely.
But we got to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that mantle has fallen upon us. We've been in training for several years for the process. The people are with us. And the nation needs us. I think that that piece you quoted by Mark Twain, a favorite of mine as well, regarding, you know, patriots and, you know, as the battle rages, it, you know, it doesn't take a lot to be one. But we have been in training for some time, Alex.
You know, it is. I mean, you know there's a God above, not just in your spirit or your gut, but you see things and you realize you look back and your whole life's training for where you're at. And then you see every good, bad, and ugly thing that happened literally was training to be able to take the stuff we take now that 20, 30 years ago I couldn't have took. I mean, absolutely. God was just building our muscles to just take this huge load. It's amazing. We'll be back with a few more calls with Pastor Manning. Thank you, Jeff. Great points.
Visit GCNLive.com today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Yeah, there's a storm loose. Sirens in my head.
Anthony Gucciardi's coming up, the quarterback, the fourth hour with all the breaking news and intel. Pastor Manning of Otla Worldwide, otla.org, is our guest. Taking a few more calls for him right now, but I have said this many times on air because it's true. I wanted to be a radio host that made films, wrote some books, and wanted to just warn America like a Paul Revere. I did not want to get put in the position of being, you know, a general in the fight. Believe me, the average egomaniac would love that until they actually got the responsibilities, the death threats, the thinking through stuff, having to make the right decisions, getting upset with yourself when you make the wrong decisions. But now it's amazing when Pastor Manning was saying that, because a lot of insiders I talk to, a lot of other people say it's just hitting them right now. They have to lead. They have to fight. They have to get involved. The sleeping giant is rising right now. And that's because evil's coming in, folks. And as the Bible says, the pastor may know the verse, I just know it from memory. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. And all of you are leaders in your area against this evil. And don't even overthink it. Just go with God, vaya con Dios, do the right thing. Pastor Manning?
Yes, sir. No, we have to accept the charge. We have to accept the responsibility. If you love your family, if you love your children, if you got grandchildren, they're sexualizing our five-year-olds in the schools. We've got to stop that. You are not worth your salt as a man if you allow this perversion to continue within our schools and in the workplace. We have got to take the leadership position in a much larger way in which we're doing right now. The truth of the matter is that it's inevitable. It's biblical. And Alex, you know, you're one of the generals. I'm not trying to stroke your ego or anything of that nature, but you've been on the front line for quite some time. And people trust your longstanding integrity. Listen, I took down Al Sharpton, not because I wanted to be the leader here in Harlem. God forbid, that's not what I want.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, but, you know, because of the need to get the people, to get people from underneath the suffering that Al Sharpton
You said we're going to boycott him, and you said within 6 months he'll lose his show. It's happened.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we've just
And you knew in your spirit that was going to happen if you took action. Because remember you said, if I do this, if I take action, other people will lead by example, he's going to fall.
Yeah, and so we took that action, and people are now trusting me. People who once were very suspicious of me, they didn't think I was black enough. They call me an Uncle Tom, a coon, a nigger. They call me all those things because I didn't get down with the so-called black civil rights movement and Obama worship. But Alex, they are now shaking my hands on the street. I mean, if they walk past me, they want to stop and talk to me and thank me for the standard I've taken. So you've got to do the same thing. And others that listen to me have to do the same thing. And not for yourselves, but think about your children. We shouldn't allow our children to be led to slaughter the way people are trying to do with the sexualizing them and everything else they're doing, taking away our jobs or taxing us, not giving us the liberty to have college educate our children. I mean, destroying families, putting men together with men. We need to protect our children.
Well, there's no doubt that they're waging war on stability and then selling it as tolerance. I'm tolerant. The point is, they are definitely against people that have traditional lifestyles. They are persecuting Christians. They've done things that make Nixon look like an angel. And then I wonder what's next. I mean, in the 30 seconds we got left, Pastor Manning, what's next if we don't turn the tide against them?
Well, you know, Alex, I can't answer that question the way you would want me to answer it because we are going to do it. The only thing that I could say would be utter destruction, but that's not going to happen. America is too great, and there are just too many people in America right now that are ready to stand for righteousness and stand for truth. So the answer to that question, it isn't going to happen, but destruction would be the answer. Utter destruction of us as a nation and destruction of those people who are destroying us, because when they take us down, they'll have no foundation upon which to build their own.
I agree. Well, I just hope for some Jonas out there to get us our Nineveh reprieve. Have a great New Year, sir. Thank you so much. God bless you, Pastor Manning.
God bless you, Alex. New Year, you and all.
I'm going to come right back with Anthony Gucciardi.
Answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
My friends, there is a real danger in this divide and conquer strategy that the social engineers are going to be successful actually creating more divide and conquer strategy, more tribalism. We really should judge people by the character of their actions, by their deeds. Like Martin Luther King said, that's how I judge a musician. It's how I judge a chef. It's how I judge a builder. It's how I choose a lover, you know, if you're married. It's how you choose things is by its fruits. But they steal our individualism when they make us a group. But then when they create so much racism, you're almost forced into your group just to defend yourself because you're being attacked by other groups just because you're, quote, in a perceived group. So there's lots of contradictions to all of this. And as the public gets more and more dumbed down, as the media system becomes more and more pointless, people don't know how to navigate that. And there's a lot of fights going on, and a lot of real beefs, and a lot of real issues as well, mixed into all these falsehoods. But know this. If you transcend it all and look at it, the social engineers have stolen the issuance of currency and credit. They've created all these fake derivatives, tied us to it in debt, and are systematically engaging in genetic manipulation of not just the human species, but every other major species. And what they're doing is very reckless and dangerous. They act like a textbook historical hellraiser demon. Now, whether you think that's real or not, it doesn't matter. As I've said thousands of times, archetypally, these people love ugliness, they love death, they love failure, they love sabotaging elegant, beautiful systems, they love destroying free will, they love disabling, twisting, hurting, humiliating, dominating, stupefying. They are, in short, the devil. And they claim they come to empower and bring human liberty and strength and options. But they give you the knowledge of good and evil. You already had the knowledge of good, at least in past generations. Now they're phasing out the knowledge of good and only having the knowledge of evil. First, there was only the knowledge of good. Then there was the knowledge of good and evil. And the knowledge of evil was the twisted con artist technologies, the manipulations of words, the manipulations of math, the manipulations, the creation of fraudulent systems that do not create higher orders. They can devolve or rot. They cannot fly. They are fallen. They want your soul. They want your intellect. They want to destroy your future. They are absolute death. Spiritual anathema. Separation from the light. Claiming to be the light. But you judge a tree by the fruit it produces, and these people produce hell on earth. I will attempt to do a Facebook mentions and a YouTube today, a year in review. But I think we'll probably just come back in future shows and kind of do the year in review and then look forward. But it's a very, very interesting time to be alive, to say the least. I'm going to hand the baton to Anthony Gucciardi here now so he can host the rest of the fourth hour today. But now is the time to really retrospectively look back on your life and look around you and ask, do you just want to kind of go along, watch TV, watch sports, never really have goals, never really have a destiny? You think you're getting away with just kind of not doing anything? That's why you're so empty. I'm talking to folks that aren't awake. I'm not patronizing our audience. It's animating. It's invigorating. It's empowering. It's dynamic to get involved in history. It's dynamic to be real. And so I'm asking you, why not make the full choice to commit to human freedom and human free will? Why not fully commit to fight the evil? And start understanding you don't need to go to that establishment church to find God. You don't need to go to that establishment guru to find God. You need to simply understand that, as Christ said, you would ask God in, knock on the door, the universe that God made right through you, God's coming in. And if you can get past the fear, all the fears that are going to be whispered in your ears of what's going to happen to you if you throw those devils out, if you decide not to work off of twisted logic, the knowledge of evil, but use the knowledge of good, then you will become an oasis in your area to others who have fallen a long way towards the web that has been spun for them at the bottom. That's why people that have been turned over to evil hate good and hate creation and hate beauty and hate purity, because they know they've fallen, they know they've been conned, they know they've been destroyed already. Those people are the enemy, but there's not actually that many of those. Most people are confused and powerless and don't know what to do, and they think if they engage in dark tricks, twisted logic, that somehow it will get them ahead. And that all starts because they lie to themselves. It's time to stop lying to yourselves out there. It's time for me to stop lying to myself. It's all a process. It's time to ask God to help take us to the next level. The choice is up to you. Anthony Gucciardi, I'm going to go in here to this meeting and work on some of the TV launch we got coming up next year, but you go ahead and take over, buddy.
You know, I love what you're saying, because the truth is people buy into the number one biggest lie ever told, the largest deception on all of humanity, and that is that you have to buy the establishment lie that you are worthless, you are powerless, but even worse, that you have to buy into their garbage. And once you sink your teeth into it, you think that's the only thing you consume on a spiritual level, and you get into this reality. And I saw Star Wars last night, and I want to talk about it. And I also want to talk about how George Lucas says that he sold Star Wars to white slavers and the whole big deal with that. But here's why I like Star Wars so much. Because the concept of the dark side and the light side really is a form of reality. And what you're talking about is also my number one topic that I love to talk about. People getting deceived into this false reality that they, for some reason, can't join the side of human empowerment. That it gives them power, this is what they believe, to go against it, to fight with their neighbors, to act like they're superior, to act like they're perfect, to act like they've got it all figured out, when in reality, that is a lie they're telling themselves. And true humans that want to empower each other and empower the species and empower the planet and fight the madness, like the criminal charges to tech companies if they notify users of government spying, and many of these other points I'm going to get to, if you want to join and fight against that, that's how you get the real power. But there are downsides. You will be attacked. You will be mocked. But there are solutions and there are answers. And that is joining the so-called light side.
But until the evil truly gets power, Anthony, the first phases of them attacking you are actually empowerment. It's a total con. People are conned into being enslaved when that's the great danger, thinking they're safe by curling up next to it. It's just totally ridiculous. I'm going to go ahead and punch out, but you're absolutely right. They think they get power by joining with the system. And at this phase of the takeover, you really don't get power joining with the system.
Exactly. It's like a synthetic vitamin or something. When you take, let's say you have scurvy and you're taking real natural vitamin C or eating an orange, you're curing it, right? But let's say we have some super, super bad synthetic vitamin C and you're taking it, just wishing it would cure your scurvy, your deficiency. Please, I need more. But that is the establishment version. That is, it's a fake synthetic lie that you are being force fed. And when you choose to consume it, you just keep doing it, thinking it's going to cure you, thinking joining with evil is going to cure you. But here's the key point too, right? Because I'm not sitting up here and Alex isn't sitting up here on some high horse judging, how dare these people there? No, no, no. The key is accepting you're an imperfect human being that understands both the dark side and the light side, but chooses the light side, that understands you are imperfect, you make mistakes, you've done bad things in your life, but you're choosing, though, to align your heart with the right place. And that is the difference. Instead of the establishment people and the people that have bought into the establishment lie and the so-called dark side sitting up there acting like they're perfect, they're going to tell you what to do.
And they think their system's finally going to work when they've extinguished good, and then they can play global galactic dictator.
Exactly. And on an individual level, I mean, if someone buys into this reality that they get power by being deceitful and by being evil, if you want to call it that, they are also in the sense of the establishment, but on an individual level. So it's not just the geopolitical spectrum.
Sure. And you run into these evil people, they've got power over dumbed down, unawake people, but to somebody awake, they're like moving in slow motion. They're a joke. And they think you're weak just because you don't think like they do, and they can stab you in the back. They think that's some magic trick they've got because they're such crap.
Well, we see it in Animal Kingdom, right? Imagine kind of like apes or monkeys or bears. You can go in and dress like a big bear in a bear community, right? In a group of bears, a huge bear suit, and get up and be like, oh, but you're actually, you know, made of cloth and a human being that could kill you in one swipe. But if the bears don't realize that you're not the alpha male, you're not the leader, right? They think you are because it's all a facade. That's kind of like these bad, so-called bad people with power, right? The people that want to deceive you. They are like a fake alpha leader that acts cool and acts tough when in reality they have nothing to back it up. And in one fell swipe, they can be taken out intellectually. We'll be right back. We're going to 2016. There's so many stories to cover. We're going to talk about four ways to change the world in 2016, four ways to make 2016 your best year, and what we can do about it. I'm Anthony Gucciardi. This is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show, the last broadcast of 2015. We'll be right back. Anthony Gucciardi, this is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show, and I've got a lot of news here, but I glanced over at the computer screen here in Alex's radio studio, and it says 90% of Americans said 2015 was not better than 2014. That is a really disturbing number. And one of the things I want to talk about today, in addition to all of this news, is four ways to not only change the world in 2016, including the abolishment of political correctness and how we can work towards that, but four ways to make 2016 your best year. And I really mean that. This isn't just some cheesy BS. This is really a practical plan to make 2016 your best year and get away from all the media attack on your mind that is making you depressed, upset, apathetic, and feel like we are losing the battle, when in reality, every single day is a victory. So I want to get into that here in a minute. You know, earlier I had an amazing discussion with Alex on air, if you caught this last segment, and what it really boils down to me, and I'm going to equate this to Star Wars in kind of a funny way, because I saw it last night, Star Wars The Force Awakens. Star Wars, the idea of the Force, to me, is genius, and it's also just an adaptation of real life in some ways, right? In an exaggerated way. Every single day at a micro level, like a micro transaction, we're putting currency into either lightness or darkness. And the reality is we put currency into both. Everyone chooses light and dark sometimes. But the idea of the Force is really powerful when you apply it to your life. This is kind of silly, but you'll get where I'm going with this. When you choose light side, when you choose the light side, you also understand the dark side, right? When you choose to do something good, it's not an easy choice. When you choose to harness that so-called force, which is really just your energy, however you want to take that is up to you, your energy, putting stock into either so-called good or so-called evil. What it really is putting stock into human empowerment and reality, human empowerment and reality, or the attack on human empowerment and reality. And when we listen to the media narrative that tells us that we're worthless and tells us that we have to buy into the establishment system, that's putting currency into the dark side. And I mean that in fullness. You're choosing every single day, but even at the micro level, being nice to someone, right? Just enjoying a conversation with a stranger, not being a jerk, being a decent human being. It costs $0 to be a decent human being. That's putting stock into the light side, right? So the idea of the force is every single day you're choosing which side to go on. Every single day is a struggle. It's a battle because you will be tempted to do, and I'm not talking about standard, you know, you'll be tempted to, you know, sin or something. I'm talking about the fight for humanity. I'm talking about actually getting up and doing something. I'm talking about knowing you're an imperfect human being with flaws, with a past, but not letting that affect you. Because guess what? The future doesn't look to the past. It doesn't get caught up in it. It's time to join up and do something. Even if it's painting that makes you passionate, if you want to help people through that mechanism, then do it. Now is the time. 2016, even though I'm all about making changes daily, every day, right? I'm trying to advance myself every single day. 2016 is a new fresh start. It is a new mental template. Wipe 2015 clean, if that's what you need to do, and start now. This is the last broadcast of 2015. I'm honored to be selected to help host this fourth hour. And if you take anything from this broadcast with me today, know that tomorrow, even though it's a silly human creation, you know, it's just a new year on the calendar. I get it. It's nothing actually new. And it's sometimes it's silly to have these resolutions that we don't keep. I get that. Fresh start, though. It is a new year. And now is the time to actually join the fight and do something. Now is your time. This is your call to arms. So I want to get into some things. Let's hit some news before we get into the four ways we can change the world in 2016. Which means four solutions that actually work that I'm going to get down. So tech companies face criminal charges if they notify users of UK government spying. And you've probably already heard about this story, and I'm going to follow up with it. Last week, it was reported that Yahoo had become the latest company that promised to alert users who was suspected were being spied on by state-sponsored actors, right? So the UK government, oh, well, we'll just criminally charge you if you tell people that we're spying on them and hacking into their emails. How dare you do that? Well, Microsoft, I'm going somewhere with this, Microsoft will warn email users of suspected hacking by governments, they claim. This is from the Foreign Desk. It says, Microsoft Corporation said on Wednesday it will begin warning users of its consumer services, including Outlook.com. Where is this all going? It's kind of like the Associated Press. The government is getting so intrusive, so bureaucratic, and so bloated that even Silicon Valley now is fighting back. Because this isn't an isolated incident. Multiple tech companies are saying, we're not going to stand for this. We're not going to just let you backdoor our programs. The government is at war with even the major corporations now. I'm Anthony Gucciardi. We'll be right back with a lot more on the fourth hour.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back. It's the fourth hour. I'm Anthony Gucciardi, your host for the remainder of the hour. And Mexican marijuana farmers see profits tumble as U.S. loosens laws. Gee, who would think? He started growing marijuana as a teenager and 4 decades later earned a modest living from his tiny plot tucked at the base of these rugged mountains of western Mexico. He proudly shows off his illegal plants, waist high and fragrant, strategically hidden from view by rows of corn and nearly ready to be harvested. I've always liked this business, producing marijuana, the 50-year-old farmer said wistfully. He had decided that this season's crop would be his last. The reason? Free market economics. And this is from the LA Times. Here's someone that has been growing marijuana for decades and selling it to people in the United States from Mexico. But what's happened? Obviously, states like Colorado and more lax in California means that, gee, the Mexican drug war is getting a little bit better, at least when it comes to shipping in the United States. Who would have thought? And again, even if you don't like marijuana or drugs, you know, it doesn't matter. The point is, less people do them. It becomes less of an issue, less crime associated with it. Anyway, moving on. Trans-Pacific trade deal bumps up health prices, costs U.S. jobs. Gee, who told you about that? FBI offers $5,000 reward after bacon found at Vegas mosque. The FBI is offering a $5,000 reward for information that helps them find the person who put raw bacon on the door handles of a Las Vegas mosque. Agents snab Pakistanis with terrorist connections crossing U.S. border. Crime in Los Angeles rose in all categories in 2015, LAPD says. For the first time in more than a decade, all categories of crime rose across Los Angeles in 2015 as police struggled to get control of the problem. Styrofoam ban begins in D.C. on Friday. And here's an interesting one. Erectile dysfunction linked to risk of early death. And not just, oh, you could die 5% more likely. 70% chance to die early. More likely to die early. A new study has found. And I've always thought about this. So, without getting into too much detail, you have to think about, really, your biological purpose, at least as far as your body's concerned, is to do what? Is to reproduce. So anything that interferes with that reproductive capability, you have to imagine your body's putting most of its resources towards the reproduction, right? It's trying all it can to reproduce. So if something's wrong there, that implicates a bigger issue. And a lot of the times, ED has to do with heart issues. So anyone out there struggling with those types of things, I highly recommend you get on a serious health program and check out your heart big time. 70% more likely to die early, according to that study. On the flip side, we have some more AI news. Erica, the most beautiful and intelligent android, leads Japan's robot revolution. Although the day when every household has its own robot is so myopic, the Japanese are demonstrating a formidable acceptance of humanoids. And it goes on to talk about what she can do. When she's asked her age, she says, "That's a slightly rude question. I'd rather not say." Interesting stuff. And it ties in with the presidential candidate, who claims technology to transform us into immortal cyborgs is within reach. And I think he was interviewed, actually, on the InfoWars Nightly News. Zoltan Isvan, yeah, he was. 10 years, a quadriplegic walk run, an Olympian using robotics. And it also reminds me of the 2045 program, where they say by 2045 we'll all be singularity AI robots with the power to dominate the world. And you know what? Elon Musk is a crazy technology phobe that doesn't know what he's talking about when he says maybe we should keep in check some type of AI along with the 50 billion professors that agree with him. But hey, you know, he's afraid of technology. I'm going to open up the phone lines. And what I want to hear about is what you're going to do differently in 2016. What solutions you're going to enact to help change the world, what you're going to do in 2016 to make it a powerful year of victory. All right? I don't want to hear about necessarily the terrible things in 2015. I want to hear about 2016 being the best year full of solutions, what we're going to do, because I'm going to present some ideas myself. The phone number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. So let's get into these. This is my four ways to make 2016 your best year and four ways to change the world in 2016. First, let's talk about changing the world with real solutions in 2016. Number one, stop letting the mainstream media control the narrative. This is potentially one of the most important. Now, what do I mean by that? If you notice, in our culture, the mainstream media still has got us fooled into thinking that they control the whole story. We're not allowed to think for ourselves still, even though we reject it, even though in polls, it's been found over and over, Gallup polls, no one trusts the mainstream media. No one trusts Congress. No one trusts the president. The mainstream media still got us on the latch because we still watch it. We still absorb it. We still don't treat our brain like our stomachs. And we watch the mainstream media and we let it hit us and we let them control the narrative. It's time to stop. It's time to stop giving them the credit. It's time to formulate your own opinions. And a lot of you are doing this. You know, I know most of this audience is super aware of what's going on. But I mean, in general, we need to stop letting them dominate us on social media, in our social spaces. It's time to think for ourselves. even if some of their narratives might even be true in some cases, it's time to formulate our own opinions without watching to the megalithic media networks for answers. It's time to form our own opinions. That's the first starting point. Number two, which I think is really the easiest one, is abolish political correctness in your life and watch as it's abolished in the lives of others. I've always said political correctness is now on the way out. It has gone too far. It has become too extreme and too ridiculous to wear certain color bags or racist and stuff. It's so absurd, especially to someone like me who actually loves humanity and loves people of all types and craziness, right? I really like everyone. I really love everyone to some degree. Even the most screwed up people, I have sympathy for them. I've read books on some of the most twisted historical figures you can imagine, and I still see humanity in them. You know, no one is 100% pure evil. They all have parts of humanity in them and empathy that for whatever reason, through trauma in their life, they're suppressing and doing these absurd things. But political correctness is a form of verbal domination. Okay, so when you fall into the idea of political correctness, as South Park has so geniusly and hilariously highlighted, you're being dominated verbally. When I come on the air and I'm afraid to say something that's not actually hurtful, this is the key part, okay? It's not actually racist, it's not actually sexist, but I'm afraid to say something because it could be perceived as politically incorrect. That's a form of controlling my language on a false pretense. That's a form of dominating my ability to form sentences to you and dominating my ability to communicate and connect with you. So what happens, therefore, is people are stifled and stopped from their communication powers because of their fear of political correctness. That is, therefore, a control of the language, a control of our vocabulary that we've never seen in the likes of before, because back in the day, you know, the king could say, I'm offended by this and you will stop. And they would just, well, sure, we'll do it because we don't want to basically be killed. We don't want to offend the ruling class, the royalty, But now people choose to do it themselves because they buy into the lie of political correctness. It's so easy to escape. Let's just get over it. Let's just get over it. Stop using it. Stop falling prey to it. It's not racist to say some silly things or sexist. And you know what? We all make jokes. We all say things. At the end of the day, stop buying into political correctness. Number three, stop identifying with preconceived schools of ideology. Stop basing all your opinions on what your school of thought that you subscribe to says to do, whether it's being a Republican, a moderate, a Democrat, or even some type of branch of, you know, some people follow their specific guru or whatever, and if he says something, they just, I agree. We all form these kind of silly ideas that we don't have any basis on. I'm guilty of all this myself, by the way. I'm not incriminating you. I'm saying, hey, we all do this. It's time to stop. We all feel like we have these ideas, but there's no foundation. We just kind of grab them from somewhere. It's kind of like running around a field and picking apples from a tree and just grabbing them randomly. A lot of people do that when they watch the news and their favorite talking head says something, or they feel like it's not Republican to say that. It's not very Republican to say what I'm about to say, so I'm going to change my belief system to conform with what I believe the Republicans would say. What? That's so absurd. Even if it's a good thing, always question. It's been said, and I really like this, have strong beliefs that are weakly held. Okay? It's not bad to change your mind, advance your thinking. How dare you not conform to this Republican system? It doesn't matter. Have strong beliefs that are weakly held. Be willing to advance your opinion beyond the school of ideology that you subscribe to. It's absurd. Four, spread solutions and a message of victory instead of amplifying the media rhetoric. When I log on to social media and I look at the hundreds of thousands of individuals that I'm connected with, a lot of the stuff I see is good, is solutions oriented, is real news media, but a lot of people focus so much on attacking these specific stories that the media puts out. And it's all just about the media itself. It's like CNN did this, Salon did this, all focusing on the media and what they said and making it more about the mainstream media. It's time to get away from the mainstream media and stop acting like they have control over our lives by giving them so much credit to obsess over them. Well, CNN said this. Oh, Fox News said this. Oh, no. Who cares? They don't have control over you. Become independent of that concept. Spread solutions and a message of victory and make it relate to people that aren't so informed as you, right? Not everyone is informed as informed as you. Sometimes it's the simplest things that can help people understand things. You don't have to hit them with these series of news bombs, right? Like, look, in 1964, this. Just let people get to that point, but don't even, you know, assume everyone is on the same level as you. I want to go to some calls, and then I want to go some news and four ways to individually make 2016 your best year and some other solutions and strategies. Let's go ahead and go to Mike in Tennessee. What's on your mind, Mike?
Greetings. I want to encourage people to follow your lead and try to become independent, self-sufficient, and learn the concepts of self-governance, because at the end of the day, you should be only relying on you, and learn the fact that this is a corporate government. The United States government is a corporation. Every state is a corporation. Therefore, if you learn these simple things, I do not consent. I do not wish to engage in commerce. That stops the beast at the door. They can't engage in commerce. They can't proceed. And if they can't proceed, they can't deal with you. And that will free up so many people from these prisons that it would be an amazing thing for people to realize. Wrap your mind around this, folks. It is a corporation. It's Walmart. It is not what you think. The original, does your government, it's been gone since 1871. So waking up to the truth, instead of shaking people awake, just tickle them. Just give them the information, because they're coming on board. And I believe this will be the year that there's an epiphany where people will spontaneously react to the truth. And eventually, we can stop feeding this beast, keep your money in your pocket, obey the top 10, love your neighbor as it is, love your God and yourself, and do the right thing, and the light will shine, the darkness will drop off and become a thing of the past, and we can become Americans once again.
Beautifully said, Mike. And you know, you said two things that really resonated with me. First and foremost is the idea of a prison that you're in. Okay, and this is really important. I call it a box, a mental ideological box, but a prison's actually an even better term. How many prisons are you putting yourself in? Self-made prisons. Because look, you have to decide to go into the prison and close the door. You have to decide to go into the cell, the ideological cell. All these points I'm talking about, you have to decide to let it affect you. You have to decide to let the media affect you and run your narrative and control your life. You have to decide that you want to be normal. You want to be accepted and societally okay and follow political correctness. What you're doing is you're closing the prison cell on your brain. You're putting yourself into so many different prisons when you aren't independent of all of this. And you also said something that I think is truly beautiful. Although something along the lines of 2016 is the year of awakening. Because for how many years have we all as a grassroots movements and thought leaders like Alex been pushing out information, right? Years and years and years. The information, I believe, is out there. I believe the information is already out there. And a lot of people are aware of it. The age of informing is still here, but it's more along the lines of the age now of action and awakening is 2016. You see, enough people are informed at this point when the line goes up that a certain level, you're then going into the age of solutions and action. And I think 2016 may be that year. Let's go to Gary in Pennsylvania. Gary, what do you think about 2016?
Hi, yeah. I just wanted to say thank you for what you guys do. God bless everybody, including the listeners and you guys and Alex and everyone. But I have four main things that I want to do. The first thing, of course, is going to be profess and continue to spread the amazing, loving news of Jesus Christ, not in a non-religious but loving way. Because it's not really about religion, it's about love, and that's really what the big thing is here. And number two, I want to get more InfoWars bumper stickers. Right now, I have my 9/11 was an inside job in my fluoride. There's poison in the tap water bumper stickers, and I see people every time looking at my bumper sticker in the rearview mirror, and it's just awesome to see people seeing it. Like, you definitely know it's waking them up. It's just a good feeling to have those. So I want to get some more of those. And number three is going to stop eating processed food completely. I would like to stop eating Chipotle. I love Chipotle. I know they say it's non-GMO or whatever, but I would like to stop. And then number four is just going to be continue to be generous to everybody, opening doors, helping somebody on the side of the highway, changing a tire, you know, stupid little tiny little acts that you would think don't mean anything or else somebody else will help her. No, help the old lady with her cane stuck at Walmart in the parking lot. Like, I mean, that's the way that it should be done. So just love in general. So more love, I guess you could say.
You know what? You're right. It does mean something to do little acts like that, micro acts. It does mean something because one of the issues I actually have with almost every single movement is it's always about the political spectrum of something like, well, we just have to inform people and do all this stuff. And I agree, it's such a powerful point. But let's also remember our humanity, right? Because it's the littlest actions that foretell the largest actions in our lives. If we can't be nice enough to open the door for an old woman, how are we supposed to spread love and information to other people? If we can't actually be nice to a stranger, if we can't actually help someone that maybe doesn't get something and therefore doesn't understand the full spectrum of information you're presenting to them, you know, how can we overall, in a larger meta perspective, do what we need to do? And I want to talk a little bit more about that when I come back. Also, I want to talk about the secret about New Year's Eve and Christmas that you're not going to hear anywhere else, and the four solutions to make 2016 your best year, and some more news as well. And, you know, I'm honored once again to be part of this last broadcast on the Alex Jones Show of 2015, and we're going to make this next segment really come out, count, and take the rest of your calls when we come back. I'm Anthony Gucciardi. Thanks so much. Stay tuned. Almost 2016. I'm Anthony Gucciardi. This is the fourth hour of Overdrive of the Alex Jones Show. And once again, I'm glad to be a part of this final broadcast. We've got some of your calls coming up on what you're going to do moving forward into 2016 to better your life and change the world. We went over my four ways to change the world in 2016. And I also want to talk about a secret behind New Year's, Christmas, and really all of the holidays. And this is one that I don't think I've heard anyone else say. So we all know about the holiday spirit, right? The joy of the holiday spirit. Some people look forward to it all year. It is a beautiful thing. We talk about people holding doors for old women. We talk about people spending time choosing gifts for their friends and family, right? Not the corporate hijacked part of it where they turned it into kind of like a monopoly game on how much money you can spend. And if you don't spend enough money and buy the latest electronics for your friends and family, well, you're a bad person, right? I'm not talking about that corporation hijack that went on. I'm talking about the true holiday spirit. The idea of just being a little bit kinder to people, being a little bit nicer, not bumping in line or letting someone get in front of you. It's the holidays, right? It's the holiday spirit. We have to be nicer. Well, I both love that and I have a huge issue with that. And I'll tell you why that is. Because the holiday spirit is a lie. It's actually the human spirit. And for some reason, we only turn it on for 24 to 42 hours or a week or two around Christmas time or New Year's or whatever. And here's what that shows. Here's the big secret about that. That shows us, that shows humanity, that shows me, that shows you that it's not a holiday spirit. It's actually people trying to be nicer and trying to be more empathetic and more real and express their human spirit, their human spirit of love and passion and caring for a period of time. And then when the holidays are gone, some people turn it off. They become mean again. They become hard again. It's not Christmas anymore. It's a new year, right? Why don't we have it on all year? Why don't we have that holiday spirit 364 other days of the year? Instead of one day per year, because people don't turn it on. They just act like it's the holidays. I'll be nice to someone. No, that should be on every single day. We need to turn that on every day. Express the full spectrum of human emotion, reality, and the human spirit every single day instead of just Christmas. So I'm tired of it. And at the same time, the holiday spirit is beautiful. It's also a lie because you have it in you every single day to actually do something and care about your friends and family and care about other people. And that is the truth about all holidays. And remember that and tell someone that. because you can be like that every day. We could all be like that to each other every single day. It's not a magical thing that happens on Christmas. Santa doesn't bring it into your chimney. Okay? You can do that any time of year. All right, we're almost out of time. I'm going to go through my list, four ways to make 2016 your best year. Really listen to this. Number one is change your consumption. Treat your brain like your stomach. Stop watching the mainstream media garbage. Consider it like a loss of energy every single time you watch it. I mean, if you're sitting there watching television all day, and I'm not judging people. I'm really not. I've been there. I've done these things. Sometimes it's fun to watch television to relax or whatever, but you need to change your consumption. 80-20 rule. 80% of your consumption needs to be good, real news, positive solutions, empowerment, right? People that want you to succeed. People that want you to live. Stop watching people that want to take control of you. Stop being afraid of change, advancing your mindset. It's okay to have new ideas and concepts. You're not changing, you're advancing your mindset. If you change on an issue, it's not a big thing, it's not a bad deal. Drop the idea of being normal. Who wants to be normal in this world? And align yourself with your mission and your passion. You're not happy if you're working a 9-to-5 job in your cubicle doing nothing you love. Spend 20 minutes every single day doing something that matters for the world. I'm Anthony Gucciardi. Thanks so much for watching this broadcast, The Alex Jones Show. This is the fourth hour of Overdrive, and Alex will be back in 2016 to tell you what's coming up in the news on Sunday. Thanks so much for watching.